Oh, it was fucking brutal.
But I was like, you know, I've done a bunch of podcasts, and Dom's sitting there, he's like, so what are you going to talk about?
That's it? That's the whole podcast?
I was like, dude, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? We talked about sports for about 50 minutes, comedy for five, and that was it.
Yeah, it sounds like Dom Herrera. And we're live with Jenny Johnson. High five. What's up?
What up?
First of all, it's a fantastic Twitter name.
Thank you.
How'd you get that?
Because Jenny Johnson was taken. And I had to get clever. And I was like, well, I like high five.
That's a good
one. So
we'll
just go with that.
But it's an easy one to remember.
I have had people that have told me, oh, is that you? Are you making fun of people with AIDS?
Me? I don't think so.
No, like they asked me that. I've been asked that a lot. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, HI and the number five, you know, the Roman numerals V. So like I was going to be Jenny HIV.
What the fuck?
I was like, you know, I'd say and do a lot of stupid shit, but... Come on, man.
That's hilarious.
More than one. I've been asked this by several people, like online or in person. No. I just high fives. Like, that was it.
Now that you brought that up, there's probably going to be, like, some blog posts written about it, and a conspiracy will get formed.
Yeah, that I, like...
That's what you're trying to do.
Right.
That's the type of things that, like really wacky people that believe in the Illuminati would start to sort of say.
Yeah.
You know, the five is actually the V.
So right.
Jenny Johnson, HIV. She's really a part.
I'm like, my birthday's in May, too, number five. You know, it's just okay, so I was just kind of doing it through that a little bit, too. Like, a high five, I'll do the number, you know, like... I actually had it had nothing to do with anything. The name Jenny Johnson was just taken.
You sound a little defensive. I'm starting to believe that maybe.
I've got the full blownsies.
The full blownsies? Is HIV even a disease anymore? I mean, it is, but nobody dies of it.
No, I feel like now it's like, you know, whooping cough or something.
Do you remember when we were kids?
Oh my God.
Do you remember the moment? There's a few moments where I remember, like when Sam Kinison died, you know, like things along those lines when you found out that someone was dying.
Yeah.
But when I heard that Magic Johnson had HIV, I was in the car with my girlfriend and we were in Boston. We were driving. We were both like, holy shit. It was like the beginning of like The Walking Dead when people started to get sick. Like, oh no.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's on. It is
Magic
on.
Johnson of all people.
Magic Johnson's famous.
I'd say the one that killed me too is Eazy-E.
Yeah.
He died of AIDS.
Yeah.
And that was also like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it just, you didn't see that one coming. Like, I guess I think I just assumed maybe it was all in New York. It was gay guys that were getting, you know, like as a kid, you know, I didn't know any better.
All in New York. That's funny. Why New York?
I don't know why. Because every scene, everything you saw on the news, it was always coming from New York because they were too lazy to get out in the rest of the world.
Right.
So that's what you would see. And I'm like, oh. How is this happening?
Yeah, it's a weird one. That was a weird one. Like Eazy-E was the weirdest one because, like, what was he doing? Like, was he doing intravenous drugs? Was he having unprotected?
I believe it was unprotected sex. No, it was just. I think there was a lot of sex. Yeah, but it was with a lot of probably
skeezies?
Questionable girls that had used.
Right, but how does Tommy Lee not have AIDS then? How does, like, there's a lot of people that should have AIDS.
He's got, like, hepatitis or something. Mm, he does have that.
But doesn't he have that from heroin, allegedly?
I don't know. I think they're all doing it in the butt.
Whoa, how dare you?
I'm just kidding. Just want to start a rumor.
Well, isn't that the Charlie Sheen thing? Charlie Sheen was blowing some guy that was smoking crack, and there's a video. Isn't that allegedly?
Yeah, didn't I text you that allegedly? Video?
Yeah, you did, but I didn't know if it was real.
I just like when Charlie Sheen goes on Matt Lauer. And it wasn't like Magic Johnson's spill where it was like, and I'm going to be an activist for this. He's like, it's over. I'm not paying these whores any more money. They're blackmailing me. There was nothing that was good or productive.
No.
With people. No, I'm not going to activist. No. I'm just not paying these whores anymore. I've paid $10 million and I'm done.
He really paid $10 million?
He had been blackmailed by a bunch of different women who had gone to his house and I guess opened his medicine cabinet and saw his... HIV medication.
Yeah.
Took a picture with their cell phone and said, pay up or I'm sending this out to the press.
If I was Charlie Sheen, I'd take that shit to get high. If you smoke crack and take HIV medication, you go to another dimension.
So good.
It's fucking amazing.
It's like Molly times 10.
I awesome. Throw a little Ritalin in there to fucking soothe it off
at
the
cut
end.
Cut it with
I mean, I've got to imagine that stuff has got to be at least somewhat psychoactive. I don't know.
I would assume, yeah, if you drink and do drugs with it, too.
Yeah.
You know, like other
sure.
street drugs with it.
Yeah, because, like, if you do certain drugs with other drugs, it enhances them, right? Candy flipping and all that jazz.
What is candy flipping?
Candy flipping
is
when
the kids are doing?
That's the wacky kids.
Yeah, yeah.
When they do the acid with Molly, Like they do MDMA and acid together.
Wow.
It's supposed to be amazing. Supposed to be,
if you survive.
If I didn't have kids, I'd fucking jump in there. Right. I would give it a shot. I'd be like, this might be worth dying for. I can't leave behind it. How'd your dad die? He was serving his country.
He was candy flipping.
Yeah, my dad was candy flipping with some 20-year-olds.
They got the dosage wrong. Charlie Sheen's kids actually get to say that.
I guess, right?
I'm sure they brag about it. Yeah, that's my old man.
That poor fuck. He's a fascinating guy, though, because...
He is fascinating.
He was on one of the worst sitcoms ever that was successful. Like, that fucking 2.5 Men was so bad.
I tried to watch one episode. I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't even make it through, like, till the next break.
It's not for you.
No, it's not for me.
But it's for somebody, obviously. I mean,
obviously.
It was giantly successful.
And to even have him fired and to bring another lead on, and it still works.
But it didn't. They canceled it.
But I know, but I thought it worked for a while.
How long did they do it with Ashton Kutcher? A couple of years?
Yeah.
Really?
It did work for...
They didn't even notice. The people that are watching that, they're all on oxys. They're just fucking sitting in front of their TV, whacked out of their head. Just waiting for the laugh track to kick in so they can laugh too.
Oh, yeah.
When's the commercial going to be on? They get excited for commercials. Is the commercial coming on soon?
And I'm sure the commercials were really appropriate for that show, too.
Well, those guys, that guy who Charlie Sheen feuded with.
Chuck Lorre?
Yeah, he's awesome at making those kind of sitcoms.
He's good at it. He's done it a bunch. Successful as shit, too. That's impressive.
God. That guy, if I was on a sitcom with him, I would ask no questions. He knows exactly what the fuck he's doing.
You'd read the script and go, this is the unfunniest thing I've ever read. Roll. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, just tell me what the words are right before I say them. I'm not going to rehearse this. Why would I rehearse this? But it's perfect.
No, it's amazing. It's really amazing.
He knows how to hit that frequency. There's like a boom, like a dog whistle.
Is it people on oxy, do you think, or do you just think it's like kind of middle America, just get home from work and it's on CBS?
There's definitely that. There's definitely the middle America thing.
It's not offensive.
Yeah, it's not offensive. And it's an easy watch, you know? Like, I've always said, like, how the fuck does anybody watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Until I watched it. Fucking thing is so bad, but it's compelling.
Do you sit there out loud and just shit talk, like...
Things. I punch my dog. No, don't do that.
I feel like a lot of people hate watch it.
Yeah, they definitely
hate watch
it.
It's a show to hate watch, you know. Like,
for sure.
I think there's plenty of people, sadly enough, that like it.
There's a lot of people that
like it. But I think a lot of people actually watch it just because they hate it.
Well, it's one of those things that they've become, there's so much focus on them that they've become a thing. So when the camera's on people, I have this theory about television and fame. And just any form of media. And my theory is that it hijacks these ancient reward systems that are in place for us to follow successful people. So, like, say if we were in a tribe together.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right.
All the three of us were in a tribe together. And Jamie just fucking slayed all the intruders and figured out how to get the food and knew where all the water was. We'd be like, we got to follow Jamie. Jamie's a bad motherfucker. We got to follow him. And so Jamie would talk in front of the campfire and we would listen.
Right.
That's sort of like a natural thing. You follow successful behavior. Well, when a camera's on someone, for whatever reason, we think that that person is successful. So
yeah.
Like they talk and we see all the money they have. We see the cars they drive and all the nails and the purses and all the jazz.
Right.
And we go, oh, they have all the good stuff. We have to follow them. And it sort of hijacks this thing that's... I don't think we're designed for media. I think that television and film and music and all that stuff, it hijacks this part of being a human being that is... it's just unaccustomed to these sounds and these images. Like, you go to a movie and you see, Brad Pitt or whatever, his head is fucking 15 feet tall.
Right.
Every time he talks, the music plays. The words are perfect because they're all... labored by a group of writers.
Right.
They've worked at it for weeks to get the right sequence of words and the right order and the right way to say it, and they practiced it.
Right.
It hijacks you.
And then you run into them in person, you're like, oh, shit, you are dumb.
Dude!
You're dumb as shit, holy hell.
There was an interview that he did once. I forget who the fuck it was, who he was doing an interview with, but I was like, who's this fucking moron? That whoever the guy is, like Larry King's interviewing.
Right.
Like, who the fuck is this? It was on TV, and then I turned around the corner, and I saw that it was Brad Pitt. I was like, holy shit. Brad Pitt, dude.
Was it bad?
You're boring as fuck.
Yeah.
He's boring.
Is it worse that they're boring, or is it worse when they have been famous for so long that they have the answers to everything?
I think he's probably so tired from fucking Angelina Jolie all the time that he just has no energy for thinking.
Oh, and all those kids.
Yeah, those kids Jesus. Running around screaming. And before her, it was Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Probably reading scripts with her all the time till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Just talk, brushing each other's hair.
But he doesn't have to be. You know, it's almost like he's like a lottery winner. He's got great features. He was a movie star from the time he was very young.
Oh, yeah.
No need to develop a personality.
None whatsoever. If you're pretty, it works for you.
But then again, you know, here's my thing on Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Who, out of all the, like, the really famous like movie star type people, has ever done more good? Like,
yeah, that is true.
They do so much good. They're so charitable. They're always involved in all these charitable functions.
They go to the shitty parts of the world.
Yeah,
like,
constantly.
I'm not going there.
They adopt like 50 kids a week. You know, they're constantly adopting kids. They have a gang of kids.
That's entirely true.
How do they give all those kids that attention?
Tribe. They don't.
They have a tribe. They don't.
I bet they each have a nanny.
Their own nanny?
I mean, they each have like a spotter, you know? Each kid has their own designated one.
Whether the dude's boring or not, but I don't know, maybe those fucking interviews are boring too, you know? It's like, it's hard
to... Larry King, Jesus.
It wasn't, I don't even know if it was Larry King. I can't remember who the hell it was he was talking to, but I remember I was in the other room, and I was like, who's this boring dude that's getting interviewed? And then I turned the corner, I was like, that's Brad Pitt?
Jeez.
Oh, Brad, you're boring.
Right.
Why are you boring? You should be fucking psyched. You should be like, a Brad Pitt! Woo!
I think it's really funny when you go to, like, if I have, like, people come into town, they always want to go to a taping of a show.
Oh,
you know, and so
right.
If I'll use whatever connection I have, okay, we'll go to this. I love watching the painful look on the interviewer's face during commercials. You know, like whoever show it is, like, like who booked that fucking guy? You know, like where they're just reaching and it's really hard. Like you can tell, you know, then there's those guests that just get it. They're very likable and they're good at it and they're chatty and work the crowd and everything. Like I saw, I think it was like Nick Cannon was on Ellen. I don't give two shits about Nick Cannon. I don't. But the guy did it right. Like, he was good with that audience.
Right.
You know, he said the little funny jokes, and he was real. And then I saw some other guy go on, and he's like, well, this is one of my first interviews I've given on Empire. I was like, I don't watch Empire. And this sad claps from the audience. And he had prepped whatever it was he was going to say, but everything he wanted to say was so fucking lame that you just had to watch. Her face was just like,
just struggling
just
to be
struggling
enthusiastic
through the whole thing. I was like, good God.
Well, that's the worst part about those shows and the best part about doing a podcast. Like, I only have people on that I want to have on, so it's all up to me. I decide, like, hey, maybe Jenny Johnson High Five would be awesome to have on a podcast. Boom. And then those people, they have to get, like, people that are on radio shows or radio shows. No, they don't ever interview radio show people. I think I made that up. Other than Howard Stern.
Yeah.
What radio guy ever gets interviewed?
None. I was going to say, like, Rush.
But they have to interview people they don't really give a fuck about. It's like CNN or whoever it is that they work for sets it up.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones was when Chelsea Handler was on with Fuckhead. What's his name? The English dude? That doesn't work there anymore?
Oh,
Piers Morgan. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, fucking Tool. He's so gross.
Yeah.
But I don't know him. Maybe he's a nice guy. Maybe I should stop saying that. He's gross on his show.
Yeah,
but
I'm not a fan. All the shit he says, too, I'm like,
Yeah. Well,
like, go back to
England. From a tabloid environment.
Right.
You know?
Then he worked for, like, the Sun or one of those, like,
he worked
rags
for that company that got caught tapping into voicemails of people that had died. And
the
family got upset because they thought that the person was still alive because they were checking their voicemail.
Right.
But it was actually the whatever tabloid.
Yeah, whatever
was
shit. Whole person sold their soul to the devil.
But Chelsea Handler did it. And Chelsea Handler gives zero fucks. She doesn't have any fucks
she
left.
She does not care.
She has no fucks.
Does not care.
And she tortured him. She tortured him.
Right.
Because she was like, no wonder why your show's getting canceled. Like, you're fucking terrible at this. And she like she was calling him out like that in between takes. Like, he didn't talk to her. He would just start checking his phone, looking at Twitter.
Oh, really?
Seeing what people thought about him.
I have to look that up on the internet. I haven't seen that one.
It's hilarious. She brutalized him.
She's one of many.
She's one of them. Well, he just goes into these debates unarmed. Like, he went into this debate with Ben Shapiro, who's this right-wing guy, who's a very smart guy. And, like, if you're going to debate this guy, you got to have your fucking facts in order.
Sure.
And he just didn't. He went into this gun debate with him, and he got just destroyed. And he called him out on his outrage peddling, that he was immediately going to, like, you know, in the debate, that he was going to immediately bring up Sandy Hook and bring up all these different people and the children that died, and that he was going to immediately use that as, like, this cry for outrage.
Right.
And he called him on it before he could ever do it. And you could see Piers Morgan was like, he like had I've taken all his left. Weapons away. He had nothing.
It was like the end of 8 Mile.
It's brutal. Yeah. Have you ever seen it? Have you seen him do it?
Oh, who, Piers Morgan?
This Piers Morgan and Ben Shapiro
thing? I haven't seen that one.
It's pretty good. You want to watch it?
Yeah, I'll totally watch it.
Okay, let's watch it. Pull up Piers Morgan gets destroyed by Ben Shapiro.
I kind of love that, though. I like when people are just, I can't stand all that stupid. So,
well, those shows, that whole type of show, it only exists because you have a network, right? So you have a network, which is this gigantic thing that has had programs on forever, and they have all these advertisers they do business with, and they have these commercials they're going to sell. So essentially, the show is only, it's only an advertiser for advertisers. That's what it is. Like, all these interviews and all the different programs they have, all they're doing is trying to get you to lock in long enough so they can slip an ad in.
Right.
So every 15 minutes, they'll slip ads in, and that's what they sell. What they really sell is ads.
Oh,
so
yeah, totally.
They don't give a fuck what you want. It's not personality driven.
Nope.
It's not about establishing something that's interesting and fascinating and, hey, we're doing good work here. No, it's just about selling ads. Like,
I was a news producer for like almost 12 years.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Where?
In Austin, San Antonio, and Houston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Powerful Texas news. Talk a lot about evolution or not?
Well, I did sports producing first, and then I just wanted to make more money, so I got into news. But it was still like, you know, you have to know all that crap. You have to... get your stories and
we'll watch this. As Piers Morgan gets owned
it's
by Ben
Shapiro.
It's a great
14-minute video, so I found like a 5-minute version. So this is a little bit longer. But
okay.
Guns. My next guest has strong words for me. He says I'm off the rails on guns in America. Ben Shapiro is editor at large.
Why is our sound so shitty?
I think someone taped the TV.
No, it's okay.
You know, honestly, Piers, you've kind of been a bully on this issue because what you do, and I've seen it repeatedly on your show, I watch your show, and I've seen it repeatedly, what you tend to do is you tend to demonize people who differ from you politically by standing on the graves of the children of Sandy Hook, saying they don't seem to care enough about the dead kids. If they cared more about the dead kids, they would agree with you on policy. I think we can have a rational political conversation about balancing rights and risks and rewards of all of these different policies, but I don't think that what we need to do is demonize people on the other side as being unfeeling about what happened in Sandy.
How dare you accuse me of standing on the graves of the children that died there? How dare you?
I've seen you do it repeatedly, Piers.
Like I say, how dare you?
I mean, you can keep saying that, but you've done it repeatedly. But what you do, and I've seen you do it on the program, is you keep saying to folks that if they disagree with you politically, then somehow this is a violation of what happened in Sandy Hook. And I'd really like to hear your policy prescriptions for what we should do about guns. Because you say that you respect the Second Amendment, and you know, I brought this here for you so that you can read it. It's the Constitution. And I would really like for you to explain to me what you would do about guns that would have prevented what happened in Sandy Hook. If you want to do what you did in the UK, right, which is ban virtually all guns, that is at least a fair argument. And we can have a discussion about whether that's something that we ought to do or not.
I made it very clear what I want to do, which is exactly what Mark Kelly wants to do. And in fact, rather than address your comments to me about standing on the graves of children at Sandy Hook, you can address them to Mark Kelly, because he agrees with everything that I've been saying, because he feels the same way as does his wife.
What is that? Talk to someone else?
I think it was Gabby Gifford's husband.
Was it?
Yeah. Or is. Yeah. So he's just now picking a different shooting to jump on piggyback
on. That's
what
he does.
Yeah.
He's a cunt.
Yeah, total.
Yeah, we got him.
That's it. Everybody agrees.
What was it like doing news work?
I mean, it was fun.
If it bleeds, it leads. Is that true? Like, what are the conversations? Is it like that Nightcrawler show or that Nightcrawler movie? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like, if somebody could burn a bag of babies, we'd have a lead tonight. No, it's not like that.
Burn a bag of babies.
No, it's just, you know, whatever's new. Whatever's, you know, when Houston, you know, sometimes it'd be an apartment fire, Southwest Houston. Like, it's just whatever's happening. You know, it's local news. And so in Austin, I did more sports, which was more fun. And then when I made the transition to news, I was in San Antonio and then in Houston. And it's, as a producer, you know, you write the newscast. You're writing what the anchors say. They're talking heads.
Right.
And then you go in the booth, all right, 3, 2, and you know, it was fun for a while, and then I think it actually got under my skin a little bit. I was always doing like comedy and stand up and everything on the side, and then when I realized I could do that full time instead of news, I got out.
So even while you were doing the news, you were still doing like stand up around town.
Yeah.
Was this during the Laugh Stop days?
Well,
in Houston, like what years?
I did
were
more in Austin. It was like 2000 to 2004, maybe.
Okay, so that. Cap City. Did you do Cap City?
I opened at Cap City one time, but I did like the ones on Sixth Street, like Velveeta Room.
Okay,
and, like, the
Velveeta Room's great.
I mean, I was just learning. I was just starting out, right. So you know, it wasn't that great. I wasn't going to be a headliner at Cap City at that point.
What is it like working with newscasters? Because they are the most bizarre television personalities.
It's like there's really nobody that is more arrogant than your local newscaster. You know, it's because it's that person that's been there forever. And everyone around town knows them. But the moment they cross out of town, nobody knows who they are. So they just, they're very big, big egos. And sometimes they'll try to, you know, flex nuts and, oh, this isn't ready. And I just sit down, old man, you know, just put the thing on. Like, I would never take shit from them. But a lot of people would get their feelings hurt sometimes.
Well, they're bizarre folks because they're in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially what their entertainment is like. They have a voice that's soothing for the news.
Right.
There's a way of delivering the news. It's like the way someone would sing a song, where like the melody sort of like interacts with your ears in a very pleasant way. Yeah.
And just to go from story to story, you know, and you just try to make it more interesting. So the director's like, let's do a two shot. All right, let's go to one.
My favorite is when they do banter in between, and then you get to find out how fucking stupid they really are.
From weather to from anchor to weather, from news to sports, and it's like, so it's just like we were saying about that game yesterday, huh? Right there, right, Bob. Exactly, and it's so funny. Like we would just be in the soundproof booth, and Jesus Christ, this is the worst thing ever.
Well,
holy
that's
shit.
Certainly interesting. In local news.
Hey, you're taking the kids to the ballpark this weekend. I'm gonna go ahead and let you know what we're looking at right there, Bob. And you're like, make it stop.
Did you ever see that one where the girl, she was talking about, she was trying to talk about music, and she used the term jigaboo. She was like, jigaboo music? Have you ever seen it?
I don't think I've seen it. I thought I'd seen them all, too.
She didn't know.
Was she a reporter?
Yes. She was a reporter.
Oh,
and she was talking
God.
About something. She goes, oh, you know, it's like that jigaboo music. It's like jigaboo music. And the person she was talking to was a fucking black guy. And he was like, it was a black guy, right? Wasn't it? Yeah. Well, here,
I'll play, baby, we'll play baby it girl, for you. Baby girl. No.
What's this? First of all,
holy shit.
You look deep in her eyes, you see the back of her skull. And look at the dude.
I just want to take a moment to address a comment that I made yesterday.
Oh, this is her apology. This is her apology. I'll just take a moment.
You know what's also really funny? Have you ever noticed, like, your local. Oh, wait a minute.
As tribute to the sound of music afterwards, Jeannie Andrews joined him on stage, gave her a hug, and called it wonderful.
It was wonderful.
It's very impressive, wasn't it?
It's hard to really hear her voice.
Lady Gaga.
With all the
Look at his face. Look at his face. And he's like,
I mean, your family knows, right? Jigaboo. Yeah, that's right. That's called it.
Gorgeous voice. He's like, she's got a beautiful voice. Yes. Yes. You fucking white
he's
bitch.
He's going, you in trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to smile through this and keep my job.
I will just wait till that commercial break when I explain to you what you've just done to our viewers.
Jigaboo.
We would have, I think one of the funnier things, it shouldn't be funny, but it was funny, is so our reporters out doing live shots, so whatever's going on. And they're in a live truck, so they have to feed the video, and we'll cut the video and say, what's the in out cue of that, you know, voicemail or, yeah, I mean, the, you know, VOSOT or whatever. So if there was something that was like, there was a drive-by shooting. Now, that's not funny. But witnesses to things like that, when the camera gets on them, there was like a lady holding her baby, that had a Coke in the bottle. She's wearing a Boyz II Men t-shirt, and she was like, well, you know, this here, Ladarius, and he's so cute, and we want him to do modeling.
Wait a minute. Did you say Coke? Like Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola.
For the baby?
Yeah, you know, like that kind of classy.
Wait a minute. She gave the baby Coca-Cola?
Yeah, the baby was drinking, like, a soft drink out of a bottle.
Cut the fucking shit.
No, I'm not. This is, like, in, you know, projects. It's, like, you know, it's
Do you know how much sugar is in a fucking Coke? Like, think about the size of a baby's body.
Well, the baby just had bullets whizzing by its head, too, through the drive-by, so maybe it... Wow. Yeah, I mean, it was just... And then the mom just promoting the baby, not talking about the people that were just gunned down.
What was she saying?
Just, like, trying to get him a modeling job, because she thought, well, there, he's cute, you know, and he should be on... And we're going... Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to make it. Cut. Pull that out of the show. There was a guy, a lot of guys like to try out their rapping skills.
While you interview him for, like, crimes? Like, did you see the drive-by? Yes, I did. Or there was
this,
the corner.
This store was broken into and the, you know, the clerk was shot. You know, oh, here's with this witness here. What's your name, sir? And then, because the camera guy will have to say your name, spell it, so that we can cut it. I mean, these don't even make the air, but it would just be like... So, okay, now tell us what you saw. Well, 1, 2, 3, I saw the... It just starts rapping. You're like, this is your big break? This is what you chose to... Like, this is never going to make the air, dude. But I guess they think maybe...
Well, they don't know.
They don't know.
Well, there's layers and layers in our society of people that are in the worst possible scenario and the best possible scenario. That's one of the worst scenarios we have available in the United States of America is the ghetto.
You would see it, and it was just so like, oh my god, I cannot believe y'all shot this. And half the time, I'm like, I know the camera was fucking with me, you know, like sending that in. Like, I think you're gonna like this, you know, this sound bite we just got.
Did you get jaded at all seeing like really fucked up shit over and over and over again?
I did, and that started to bother me that it didn't. Like, I could just see it, write it, put it in, and I could remove myself from that situation, but then there would just be those times that like something really bad happened and it's like it was personal or it was like we actually had our Sky Eye helicopter, it crashed and the two people were killed, like our coworkers. Whoa. And so that was something that was like it was kind of the first, like the beginning of the end for me, where I couldn't stop, you know, I couldn't do what I used to do, like everything felt very personal.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that was kind of that sucked. But I was, you know, I'm glad I did it for as long as I did, and you know, I did well. But
do you talk about it on stage at all?
Sometimes, but yeah, I guess sometimes. It just depends on the context or whatever's going on. But sometimes I'll talk about it.
It seems like it would be ripe, or maybe write something about it, because it seems like it would be so ripe for material and just it's like that movie. It is Night Stalker, right? Is that what it is? Nightcrawler.
Oh, Nightcrawler. I haven't even seen that one yet, but
it's
great. Yeah, I heard it was
great.
Good.
It's really creepy. Jake Gyllenhaal.
He looks real weird and shit. He's all scrawny and creepy looking. Yeah.
He's so good. He's such a good creeper. Like, it's perfect.
Like, maybe it's too good.
Man, well, I just think he's that guy.
Turn it off.
He can become, not that guy, can become people,
yeah.
You know? And he just did such a good job of capturing the sort of sociopathic personality of someone who would ambulance chase or,
yeah.
You know.
And I think that happens a lot. I mean, people that want to get the story, break the story first. And, you know, to try to break a story first, especially if it's something horrible, you do feel like when you're done, it's like, ugh.
imagine.
Trying to call people and trying to dig up shit. And you're just, yeah, wasn't for me after a while.
I can imagine. I have a friend who's a cop, and he's told me that they'll get to a scene and someone will have been shot and... People, you know, no one even bats an eye.
Yeah.
They'll start eating donuts, like literally eating donuts, like right next to the body.
Right.
Like no one
cares.
Because
to them it's work. It's just a crime scene.
They'll start cracking jokes.
Sure. Yeah. And that, you know, I don't want to say like I went there, but I mean, sometimes I, you know, like we would see a video, the full video before it's been edited. Then we would edit out the dead part, you know, the...
Mm-hmm.
And it is weird when you're just doing that and thinking absolutely nothing of it. Just cut that.
Is there any pressure to show like more? Like, do they say like we would
no,
like to
because
see
there's
blood
there's like libel laws that you have to follow in news. Like, and you have to know those going into it, that what you can and can't say, what you can and can't show. You know, you can't say like you were saying like allegedly or you know.
Right.
There's certain things like that you can't say. It's a fact when. It's just what, and it has to come from a legit news source, so the Associated Press or CNN. You know, like you have to be able to cite the source that you got the information from. You can't just say, my aunt called and said, you know, this just happened, and that's not credible.
One of my favorite ones is this news report on an arson. These people, their house got lit on fire, and this girl is interviewed, and she's like, I don't want to name no names, but it was my cousin, because he's been trying to get with me. He's just... And I think he's the one that lit the house off. They're like, what? Jesus. Like, he's been trying to have sex with me. Have you seen that, Jamie? Yeah. Pull that one up. See if you can
Because we broke up and he's mad about it. My cousin.
It's so hilarious. This lady.
But they're
is
not
being
even
interviewed.
Batting an eye. You know, like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, that's why.
She's like, I don't want to name no names. Here we go.
Good morning, Dan and Amy. I am in Leavittsburg, and I'm just going to step out of the way now so you can take a look at the scene, what is happening right here behind me. You can see that firefighters are still working to make sure that this fire is out. Smoke is still in the air, and firefighters are still over here trying to make sure that everything gets under control. Garage here that is on fire is Heather Tenney. Tell me, you woke up around 3:45 and you saw this. What happened?
I woke up to beating on the doors. My neighbors, I opened up the door. My neighbors were like, get out, you know? So when I opened up the door, I seen just blazing from the garage. And I woke him up, my husband.
Look at the husband.
And we got out as fast as we could.
Hottie.
I had him move the vehicles out of the way, and I had him go back in the house to get our two dogs that we had in there.
When you got outside and you saw what was happening, you saw what was going on, what were
Look
your thoughts?
The guys facing the background.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I didn't ever think it was going to happen to us.
Do you know how this fire
Here
started?
Here we go.
Yes, I do. It was because of my cousin. And I don't want to mention no names.
Your cousin?
Yes.
And you said you think your cousin started this. Do you know how or why?
He's mad because he can't get with me. I'm married to my husband. And it's
my
a
second
long story,
cousin.
Just make it short. Yeah. He already put him in a hospital once last month. And he figured he's going to do something else to get back.
Right now, this should be on Cops, not on the news.
Look at the guy.
How is he not dying laughing?
Well, he's not very good at his job either. He's kind of clunky. It's a tough gig.
It is a tough gig.
Wait, that's not a normal reaction to someone saying that. The normal reaction was like, what? Your cousin? Hold up. I mean, he's got to stand there with his tie and act
just
professional.
Yeah, and not smile or laugh or go, what the fuck?
First of all, where's that fucking town? Where is it? Is that?
Deliverance-burg.
But it's always those weirdo towns.
I have a friend, she works out here for the local Fox station. Lauren Savant is her name, and she had, I love it, because she's made the soup, TMZ, for all her fuck-ups on air. Called John Boehner, John Boehner, you know, she's like everything, and she's
it looks like Boehner.
It does look like Boehner.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw that in a teleprompter, I would have to, don't say Boehner.
Did you hear what happened with him? He got busted because he's renting an apartment that is owned by the indoor tanning lobby.
Stop it.
No,
that's a
for
joke.
Real.
That's
no,
gotta be a joke. With his orange face.
Did I retweet it? Did I retweet it today? This girl, Jen Briney, how do you say her name? She tweeted it at me. Please tell me I retweeted it because it's so ridiculous.
It's not a news story, though.
See, it's not a news story?
No, it's from 2013.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show you that.
Well, everybody's always wondered why this guy's tan all the time. He's always said, no.
Yeah, I mean, he looks bright orange when you're watching those State of the Union. Like
tanning bed lobbyist. Indoor tanning. Look at his face. He's fucking orange. It's long denied that his perpetual skin color is a result of sunless tanning. He just spends a lot of time outdoors, the Ohio Republican is known to say. But despite his repeated denials using tanning beds, Boehner has ties to the industry.
You just said Boehner, too.
I'm saying it from now on. It's Boehner. It's Boehner. It's Boehner.
It's Boehner. I agree.
How do you get Boehner out of that? That's not Boehner.
No, that's not Boehner.
Boehner's B-A-N-E-R.
That's Boehner. Boehner.
That's Boehner. Not only has he accepted campaign contributions from a group called the Indoor Tanning Association. Boehner actually lives in a D.C. apartment owned by a lobbyist for the American Sun Tanning Association. First of all, how gross is politics? This fucking guy can live in an apartment owned by a lobbyist for
The Indoor Tanning Association, that's a real... The American Sun Tanning Association, that's a real group?
Yeah.
I did not know that that was... How can that even be a group?
And how is he only paying $1,600 a month for rent in D.C.? D.C.'s fucking expensive. That guy's crooked.
DC's crooked, too. There's something else going on. That's the most crooked town everywhere. All politicians. I hate all politicians. I'm a political atheist. I don't believe in any of them.
Good for you. Me, too.
Well, they all end up lying. I mean, you're banking on somebody.
Wait a minute. Bernie Sanders? You think he's lying?
I think Bernie needs to run for like a homeowners association presidency or something. Like in Boca Raton or something like that. Bernie.
A nice cul-de-sac group.
Yeah, just, you know.
That's the president of this cul-de-sac.
Ping pong championships.
The 1% of the cul-de-sac. Yeah, Bernie Sanders is an interesting guy, though. He's at least getting young people excited because they're hoping and praying that someone is different, and no one is different but him. He's the one guy that's coming along that's saying...
Hey, Trump's different.
In a way.
In a bad way, but he is... I actually will say, backed into a corner, somebody was like, well, say something nice. I'm like, he's not lying. I believe he believes every single thing that he's saying. I don't think he has a team of campaign managers telling him what to say.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that,
no,
like...
No, he definitely doesn't.
He just gets up there and just... start spewing crazy, but he believes it.
Yeah, he just lets it rip. He's worth a few billion. He's like, fuck it, let's roll the shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's something that's kind of hilarious about that part, but other than that, they're all full of shit.
There's a recent bill or a vote that's going to take place in the UK to try to ban him from entering the UK for hate speech. This is like a serious consideration, and it's going on right now. He's for the stuff that he said about Muslims.
He just said, I mean, at some point you're like, I think that everybody was kind of on board at first, like all the old crazies. Finally, somebody's saying what we're all thinking, you know, those kind of people. And then he just hasn't stopped talking. And I think now they're like, whoa.
Come on, buddy. You crossed.
Yeah. Like we got your back, but now you're kind of spewing some crazy. Like I actually think that like all these old people that like him believe that Muslim is a terrorist organization group. Like, I don't think that they get that that's like they think Al Jazeera, that's actually a TV channel. It's not like the Taliban.
It sounds
ISIS.
Like it.
Brown people.
Sounds like jihad. Al Jihad.
Yeah, what's Muhammad's of jihad and whatever. Yeah.
Well, people are terrified of people from other cultures always.
Sure.
But when you got other cultures that are involved in things like, you know, in ISIS. But what people have to understand is... ISIS is killing more Muslims than there are anybody. Most of the people that they're killing are Muslims.
Yeah.
Like, they're just bad.
They're just bad. They're criminals. I mean, I don't know why this annoys me, but when I'm watching the news or reading the news, which I prefer to read it because it annoys me not to watch it, but people will say, well, you know, we're waiting to find out if this was a terrorist attack. Like, it's the San Bernardino thing.
Right.
Before they release those names. Once they released their names, therefore it became a terrorist attack. Don't you think that, like, the Sandy Hook guy, that was kind of...
100%.
He was terrorizing people.
Sure.
But I like that they have to be brown in order to be a terrorist.
Well, that's our new...
Isn't that weird,
enemy.
Though?
Our new enemy is the war on terror. And terror has to be, like, it's like the Germans. We have to go after the Germans or the Japanese or the terrorists. It's the terrorists. It's country.
But what does terror mean?
It's country.
Doesn't mean brown people doing bad.
Well, we're gonna rename the country. You know, Japan. They call themselves Nippon. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Well, we call them
Japs because I remember Pearl Harbor.
There's all these people that believe they're in other countries, but as Americans, we get to dictate what their actual lines are. So we're just gonna decide to call it all terror.
Yeah.
So these are terrorists. They live in terror.
Yeah.
That's the part of the world. It's called terror. You're not allowed to come over here. We'll put you in camps like we did the Japs.
Yeah.
That's some dark shit, man.
It's so horrible. I was talking to my mom, who lives in Houston, conservative, Republican, and all those fun things. So I love poking her with the stick. It's really funny. And when she said, oh, you know, there's terrorists in San Bernardino. And I was like, well, I mean, anybody that did that is a terrorist. It doesn't matter when we find out what their name is. She goes, Jenny, the terrorists are like the really bad ones. I was like, I don't know. I think the Sandy Hook guy was pretty bad. I got to say, I don't think he was awesome.
How about the fucking Colorado movie theater guy? That's a terrorist.
No.
White guy with orange hair.
He's not one of the real bad ones, though.
Oh,
you can pronounce his name.
He's not brown.
Yeah, if you can pronounce his name, just not as bad as the guys that Saheed, Muhammad, that bad stuff, bad news.
Well, it bugs me when people won't criticize Islamic terrorists or Islamic people, though, because they're worried about being Islamophobic. Like, Islamophobic is a weird one. That's a weird one, though.
Anything that's a phobic. Like, well, it's the what's the word I'm looking for? Like if you're on a watch list or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, you're drawing a big fucking blank. What is it called? Like prejudging somebody. Mm-hmm. You're,
prejudice.
Yeah, there was another
prejudging.
One.
Pre-screening.
Yeah, whatever. You're making an assumption. You're over okay. a stereotype, you know, like whatever. Right. And that's okay sometimes. It's like, I don't think it's a bad, like, I heard this couple one time. I was on a flight and this family, and they're completely dressed mostly, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. like the face covered. And
right.
I see these old people dressed like, you know, the Gilligan's Island old people, you know, just, and they're like,
like hitting, the howls.
Yeah, they're hitting each other like, you know, they look at this guy. I'm like, no, I don't care about those people. I care about the guys that are going to come on board with slacks that they just bought at Mervyn's or something, and a button down that's still got creases, like no luggage, you know.
Right.
Like, if that's who's going to freak me out on a right. plane, is the ones that just are trying to fit in.
Fuse coming out of their shoe.
Right. Not the ones that are like fully standing out with all of it. Like,
yeah.
No, sorry. I will prejudge.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to just go, well, I don't want to offend anybody, so let me get on this plane with these fucking creepy people.
But what I was getting at is that it's just weird that people will call you out on being Islamophobic, but the same people will openly mock Christians.
Sure.
Like, they can openly mock Scientologists. They can, sure. But if you, for whatever reason, I guess the legit angle would be, obviously because we're at war, or we were at war, with two different countries, and we're still in Afghanistan,
right.
and a lot of troops still in Iraq, and more now than before, right? We just sent some new ones over there. But and those people that are involved in the conflict over there are Islamic or are brown.
Right.
So I guess it lends the idea that, like, well, you shouldn't be Islamophobic. You shouldn't be critical or prejudiced against Islamic people. But it's just, it's an ideology.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, excuse me, any religion is stupid.
Well, yeah.
They're all dumb.
I was just watching Bill Burr's stand-up, and I was laughing so damn hard about him talking about Scientology, and he goes, yeah, it's funny. I mean, your God's name is Ron, you know, because he had a driver's license and a social security card. He's like, but I found out about it when I was an adult. When you're a kid, you don't question it.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up Catholic, right? He's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Why would you... Sure, yeah. 3 days later, came out, yeah, yes, yeah, sure. Like, you just believe it, and then as you get older, to challenge it or to question it, you're an asshole. You know, like, you just can't, don't challenge the Bible. You can't do that. I think there's a higher power. I don't think it's that story, but maybe a version of it, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, who knows what it is, but whatever it is, it's not what L. Ron Hubbard wrote. It's not the one guy who wrote the most books of anybody who ever wrote books ever.
Scientology books.
He wrote more
sci-fi books.
Fiction. He wrote more fiction than any person
absolutely.
Who's ever lived. He really did.
He did.
Out of any person that's ever lived on the planet, he wrote the most books.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible that they think that
How many books did he write? Do you know?
Fuckload. Exactly. A fuckload.
A fuckload. That's exact mm-hmm. number.
Yeah.
That's a lot of books.
That's a good question. Jamie's going to pull that up. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
But he
I didn't know
does
he wrote the
hold
most
the distinction.
I did not know that.
Yes. He's the most prolific fiction author ever in the history of the human race. That's how stupid Scientology is. The guy who made up the most shit ever also told the truth about the fucking frozen ice cubes filled with souls.
That they're coming out of volcanoes and shit.
They drop them in volcanoes, and that's why you get anxious.
I mean, I'm just like, well, it's all so stupid to me across the board.
It's made up stuff. It's people making things up. You live and you die, and no one knows what happens when you die.
We'll all find out one day.
Hopefully, maybe.
It.
Maybe we won't.
Maybe not.
Maybe we'll become something that doesn't think.
Yeah.
Here it is. Most published works by any author. Number one, L. Ron Hubbard. Yeah.
1,084.
1,084 books. Jesus Christ. Did he even fucking do a second draft on any of them? There's no way, right? His books are so bad, too. Have you ever read them?
Did he self-publish them?
I don't know. Or did he have... I don't think so. I think he published them. I mean, he published a lot of them in those sci-fi magazines. That was like a big part of what he was doing originally. Wow. Like, he would get books published in those. You know, they were like Reader's Digest. They would have these like sci-fi.
The last
things.
One was published in 2006. Didn't he die in like the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was the 80s. I think it was like the 90s.
When did he die?
What is it?
86.
86 was? Well, I'm sure they just found a bunch of shit that he had laying around. The guy was probably nuts. Probably just sat down.
Did you ever see like
interviews?
Or do you ever watch those documentaries? I'm fascinated by it. I love
Me too.
Well, I'll watch any documentary. That's all I ever watch. But those are particularly fascinating because he looks crazy.
Oh, he's crazy as fuck. Lawrence Wright wrote a fantastic book called Going Clear, and that's what they used to make that.
Yeah, I read that one. That was good.
You read it too?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, when you hear about how nutty he was, like, he was beyond crazy.
Yeah, but it's one of those, like, usually people that, you know, end up getting, like, a leader of something, they're smart but crazy. You know, it's like a psychotic brilliance, you know, that you can manage to get that many people on board. I mean, they all dress like sea captains and shit. Yeah. Like, what the
That's
fuck?
The best thing.
Yeah, I'm like, you have a lot of medals, dude, and you, like, I mean, highly decorated officer, and what? Like,
well, how about when Tom Cruise won that gold medal for being awesome?
Holy
Did
shit!
You ever see that? And he fucking salutes
they saluted
to LRH.
Each other, and they were so like tensed, and you know, both of those guys are about 5'1", 5'2". Mm-hmm. Holy shit, that made me laugh.
LRH.
God. LRH.
Yeah, they salute to L. Ron Hubbard. They call him LRH.
It's a
photo of him. They salute the photo like it's fucking, like it's the flag.
Just think of like one of your friends. It's like real silly and goofy, like one of your craziest friends. And then imagine his face or her face up there. And everyone just to, you know, just to Andy Dick, everybody. And everyone just like salutes. And like there's a room full of people that give all their money to, I mean... It could be that. It's not that much different.
No, it's not. I mean, his work. Oh, God. Like, look at the size of the fucking medal. I mean, that shit makes Flava Flav. Look, he saluted him.
Look at him.
He looks over and salutes, and everybody claps. First of all, look how beautiful that set is.
Mm-hmm.
And that David Miscavige. Whatever that guy's. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Wow,
he is genius. That medal that he's wearing is hilarious.
Like, up next, some crazy
some crazy Scientology stuff. That's the name of the YouTube video. It's fucking wonderful. They're wonderful.
And there's a great one that you can watch it on YouTube. It's like Scientology and Me. I think it was from the BBC. But it's really good. It's this guy just tracking him down and getting
under
foot. Yeah,
one.
It's a good one.
It's all in Clearwater. In Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah, he was
all
in.
Went down there.
But there was Summit was in London, like their headquarters in London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was pretty
cool.
Maybe
it's a different one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I did see that one, the Clearwater one.
Yeah, well, that's where
the
they all are.
Sea Org people.
My family used to live there. My mom and my dad,
really?
Yeah, they lived in Clearwater. My sister still lives in Tampa. They're still down there.
Is that where you're from?
No, they moved there to escape the Boston winters.
Now they're just trapped.
Trapped in a sea of stupid. There's a lot of nice people down there. But you know what? I was just there in Tampa this past weekend. You know what it is? It's all people from the Northeast that escaped. That's all. My whole show was like New Yorkers, Boston people, Jersey people.
All retired people?
They're just get out of there. Fuck this. Let's get a job down there. Fuck winter. They just say fuck winter and they go to Florida.
I would do the same thing. I mean, but I grew up in like South Texas, so like, I mean, it's 50 degrees out here, and I'm like, it's fucking freezing. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't deal with it. There's
well, South
no way
Texas,
to make it.
Like, I don't know. I love Houston. I mean,
I love
it's
Houston
got
too.
Spots.
It does.
Yeah,
it's got character. If you're downtown, man, there's a lot to do. There's a life down there, you know. But then there's certain places that, it's not that fun.
Well, I remember when I was in Boston, there was four big comedy scenes that we had heard about. There was like the Boston scene, there was the New York scene, there was the LA scene. It was kind of a San Francisco scene, but a little bit. But there was a Houston scene.
Yeah.
And the Houston scene was because of Kinison and Hicks.
Yeah, like, Bill Hicks. Like that's where he.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. I'm such a fan of his, but like now they just have the improv. Like I did a show at the improv over Christmas break and it's awesome. It's fucking huge too. It's a great venue, but it's kind of in a weird part of town. And
yeah,
you know, it's just,
you mean black?
No, it's like
Hurt's
off.
Black. Hurt's in a black part of town.
It's not really, it's not in a black part of town.
Urban?
They only seem to book a lot of black comedians.
Oh,
But no, it's like just off of the interstate. It's just an exit, you know, it's just a weird part of town.
Okay.
Like there's just nothing really around it.
Mm.
You're just kind of like hauling ass down I-10 and then you take an exit and there's the improv. Like,
it's so sad because that place, the Laugh Stop in River Oaks, that's where I did.
Oh, that was the best.
I did my first CD there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 99. That place was the shit. It was the best club. It was set up perfect.
Now it was like a restaurant, and I think they're trying to get it where they can at least open part of it up.
It's still there?
For comedy.
Like
well,
that?
It's a different... It's a, you know, it's a restaurant now, restaurant.
And the, but is the stage still there and everything?
No, it's not. But they're trying to, you know, like all the comedians are going, hey, give us a fucking place to.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of good comedians in Houston, you know, and you want to be able to like do your job and then try to do this on the side. Like that's what I always enjoyed about it. But, you know, I'd have to go to improv or try to, you know, get some stage time, or sometimes I would open up for my friends that were musicians. I would just like do a set at their, you know.
Oh wow!
So at least I could get stage time, you know.
Right. That's tough, though.
Oh yeah.
It's so non-ideal.
But I think, you know, it helped that I already had a job, so I didn't care as much.
Right.
You know, like if I was depending on that as my livelihood, maybe I would have been more nervous. But it was like, yeah, fine. I'm going back to work tomorrow.
So. It's one of the more frustrating things for a young comedian. They're starting out is to grow up in a town that doesn't have a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know if you're in Cleveland or something like that. I don't know if Cleveland has a scene.
Yeah.
But it's fucking hard. And
These
clubs like the Improvs are amazing to work at if you're a professional.
But yeah, I've done, you know, a couple shows at the Improv here. But it's only because, like, maybe somebody asked and, you know, had to pull strings because I'm not a name for a marquee. You know, like, and for the Improv, you have to be. Like,
yeah, you have to be.
It's like trying to get on at the store or the Laugh Factory on, like, a Saturday night. They're not going to just go, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, go do 7 minutes.
Well, they've sort of boxed themselves into this hole, though, because they have these rooms that are like 500 seats. So they can't have open mic nights.
Yeah.
Because they can't keep the room open. Because they can't, it's all the staff and everything. It'll cost them too much money.
Yeah.
And as soon as you don't have open mic nights, then you're not developing new talent. As soon as you're not developing new talent, then you have to get all your acts in from out of town. And it just, it kills the whole art form. Like, you have to have a place to start. You know, there's no, like, one place where everybody starts. You can't say, oh, well, they have open mic nights in L.A., don't worry about it. Well, right. A lot of people don't fucking start out in L.A.
No. I mean, when I came out here and I started doing just, I mean, I'm doing more writing, but I still like doing I like trying to do stand-up, you know, 2-3 nights a week or something. But it's hard to even get that sometimes. Like, the Laugh Factory, they're good to me over there, and they'll give me a, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, one of those nights.
That's great.
Flappers Comedy in Burbank.
That's a great plot. A great club.
Yeah, I've done.
Have you done the HaHa in North Hollywood?
I have done that.
That new one is fucking awesome.
It is awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's perfect.
So I, you know, it's like, but I have to find everything myself. I don't rely on like my agent to do that. Like, it's just, you know, I just want to get it sometime. Like,
I still do that though. I find everything myself too.
That because I'm sitting there talking to him. I'm like, well, you're not getting, like, I get everything. Like, you haven't got me shit. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. And maybe.
Well, especially like little clubs in town. I mean, all my bookings, like if I do theaters and stuff like that, my agents do all that stuff. But like, if I do local spots around town, I have to find, like, Joey Diaz will call me up. Listen, dog, you got to do the fucking HaHa.
Right.
The new HaHa in North Hollywood. He'll be taking bong hits while he's talking to you. And you're like, all right. Like, we tell each other, like, comics will tell each other. Like, there's this place in on Sundays in Santa Monica that Neil Brennan has. It's supposed to be awesome.
Yeah, I keep seeing that on his, he's promoting it.
West Side Comedy Theater, I think it's called.
I haven't been there yet, but.
I hear nothing but great things. So, like, that's what you hear. You know, you hear about cool spots.
Like, I did the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. Done that.
I heard that's
great,
too.
Improv in, like, Brea.
You know, that's a great spot.
That's
a great spot.
The new one's awesome. But everything is because of, like, just me, like, either hounding people or just a friend, you know, helping me out. Like, hey, do you want to open for, you know, me when I'm in Long Beach? Or
well, this is an amazing place. If you're in L.A., this is an amazing place to work. Because you really never have to leave.
Yeah.
You can work and just drive.
Yeah.
You know, you can drive to Irvine, you drive to Ontario, you drive to Brea. If you want to get crazy, you go to San Diego.
Right.
You know, there's so many places to work around here.
Yeah, it's actually really pretty cool considering, like, I moved here from Houston where, you know, there was just no scene. It just wasn't there.
Yeah.
It didn't exist, so.
I'm telling you.
It used to be
one
shit.
Of the best places.
Yeah.
When I first got there, I first got to Houston in like 96 or 97, somewhere around there. Maybe 90, maybe 98. Either way, when I first got there, I was like, holy shit. They had an open mic night that would start at like 8 and go till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And the open mic night was in the bar area where they had a small stage. And then they had the main stage where the main room was, which was fucking perfect. It was the perfect setup.
Yeah.
And they had all these really creative young local comedians. And they didn't have any tolerance for hacks.
Yeah.
I was like, this is just like Boston, but like hot.
Yeah.
Like hot weather.
But nobody, can put their finger on why it stopped.
Because the club went under. It's that easy to throw water on a fire. If they don't have anywhere to perform, and if there's no one scene.
Like, but, like, somebody didn't try to take, you know, like, I just felt like there would be somebody that would make more of an effort to try to get it.
Right, but who? Great. How about
I
you?
I don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I always thought that there would be somebody that would try to, you know, bring it back up again, but...
Well, they tried, but you need, like, real resources. You need a club. You need a liquor license. You need a, you know, you need the whole thing. I mean...
I know, but idiots can open bars. How many bar owners do you know?
I don't know any idiots that own bars. Do you know idiots that own bars?
Yeah.
Really?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, talk to those idiots. Tell them to put a stage up. I don't know. It's fucking... Yeah. It's not like anything else. Like, if you want to... I guess being a musician is probably just as difficult. Like, how does a musician... I mean, I guess you can kind of make your own mixtape and shit alone. You don't need an audience to practice. That's the difference between comedy and other art forms. You need an audience to practice.
Yeah, like to know... that. Well, that's one thing that I always enjoyed about Twitter. You can kind of tell if something, a joke works or doesn't work on Twitter by people liking it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, it's like, okay, that works, so let me try it verbally.
Well, you have a big following on Twitter just from being funny. You know, I mean, Bert Kreischer and I were talking about you one day.
Yeah,
on,
that was
on the podcast.
That was why I sent you that message. I was like, all my friends were like sending me the link to it, and it's like, oh, sweet, thanks.
Well, that's a cool thing about Twitter. There's like, there's a girl. She calls herself Slash Lean.
God, I love her.
She's hilarious. So funny. She's up in Toronto.
Yeah,
but it's the same thing. She developed this giant following just from being funny.
Yeah, and I think that like people like her, myself. Like Rob Delaney was one. Like we all kind of jumped in at this exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's possible now for somebody.
See,
I think there's too many people.
Says that. People always say that, but it's like, I don't want to start a podcast now. Everybody's got a podcast. But how about those Guys We Fucked girls? Those girls that have that podcast called Guys We Fucked?
I've never heard of it.
You never heard of it? It's like top 10 always.
Oh.
And it's only been around for like a year. They just have a really good podcast. They developed this big ass following and then shot up through the rankings like quick.
I don't think the podcast, I think that a lot of people have them, but I still would encourage people to try. But with Twitter, the only thing is, you know, it's just, it was so new and different. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, who is that person? You know, it was so new and exciting. And now there's all this other crap. There's too many things. Periscope, Snapchat, all these other social media things. And at the time, it just was just like Facebook and Twitter, and that was it.
Twitter doesn't grow like it used to. It's like the amount of people that you get.
Yeah.
Like people don't like you. Some people used to get like massive amounts of new followers like really quickly, but it's hard to do that now.
I think also like if you look at someone and you look to see like how many people do you follow?
I follow a lot of people.
And I seriously doubt you read every single
person. I read a lot of shit. I'm retarded. I got something wrong with me. I scan Twitter constantly for interesting stories. And if someone posts, I'll look through their feed. If they post 2, 3, 4 interesting stories in a row, boom, I follow them. I'm like, you never know.
But how do you find them? Just through somebody retweeting them or something?
Most of it is because they tweet things to me. That's a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
So someone will tweet something really cool to me, and I retweet it. Like, what I've started doing, a long time ago, is when people send me cool stuff, I retweet it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives people an incentive to send you more cool stuff, and they go, hey, retweeted me, it's fun, it's cool. And like, when I find their page, like if someone retweets something, or if I retweet something someone sent me, and I find their page, and they have a bunch of cool shit on there, I'll stop following them. And I think that just that way, you ensure that you have like sort of a network of people that are distributing interesting information, sending it your way. And
but is it links to things?
Sometimes it's links to things.
Or sometimes is it just a funny reply to you?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's a funny reply. Sometimes it's just a funny post.
Now, how many unfunny replies do you get from people trying to make you laugh?
Yeah, you get those.
It's
going to happen.
It's just cluttered. And it's just, oh, God, sometimes it's so painful.
Well, yours is so humor-based. You know, your feed is
But it's a person,
so...
like, almost insulting me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And they'll go, oh, it's getting, you know, like, it was a joke. You know, I thought you could take a joke. I'm like, no, I can't.
Well, you got to think there's a lot of people that are just trying anything to get a reaction from you. They're standing out there typing into the abyss, hoping to get a signal back.
Yeah.
Hello?
I mean, but it's such an interesting concept that people like I did a panel at South by Southwest last year, 2 years ago, something like that. And it was
about
just
Twitter.
And it was just about like getting a career out of it. You know, like how else would anybody have noticed me outside of Houston?
Yeah. Well, that's how I noticed you. I don't remember when I started noticing you, but I've been following you for... How long have you been on Twitter?
Since like 2009, I think.
I think I've been following you for at least 2 years. Okay. At least 2 years. And I don't know how long totally, but I remember someone tweeted one of your things. Like to me, I think. Someone tweeted something funny that you said.
Oh.
And I think I retweeted it, and then I started following you. That's how I do it.
But it's like, yeah, it's kind of, it's word of mouth or word of, you know, word, but.
But you could still do that.
But I do think that's fast. That's what I love about Twitter. I think it's really fascinating that how else would anybody have ever heard of me if it wasn't for that particular form of social media? I just think there's too much now. There's too many people. There's too many extra things that I don't think people are going to get noticed the way that I lucked out and got noticed.
Well, there was that effect, like the early days of MySpace. Do you remember the MySpace effect? Like Tila Tequila and Dane Cook and all these people got super famous really quick because once, you know, first of all, you followed Tom because everybody had to follow Tom from MySpace. What the fuck is Tom up to these days?
I hope he's okay.
He's in Belize right now with gold underwear on and fucking stacks of champagne bottles next to him and a big fucking tub of Viagra by his bed. Yeah, just balling. I mean, how much money did he make from that fucking stupid...
He'd have made a shit ton. The fucking Facebook guy.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Well, that guy's made insane amounts of money.
Wow, it's impressive.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre money. He looks bewildered all the time, too. Like, whenever
Like he just woke up from a nap.
To me, he always looks like he's, like, worried that someone's going to kidnap him constantly.
Yeah.
Like, you got that kind of money? Like, shit,
don't you know that he's probably had those threats, though?
Threats?
Like,
oh,
yeah, I'm sure, like, that, yeah.
He's worth billions of dollars.
Billions, and now he's got a new baby, I believe. His wife just had a baby.
Jesus Christ. But he takes pictures of everything. His wife, his baby. Look at me. Look at them.
Maybe he's, like,
here
just putting it out there. Like, maybe. He's getting the jump like, Ben Shapiro was. Put it out there first before.
Well, maybe he's just surrounded by fucking spec ops guys, just locked and loaded, ready to party.
It's a strange thing. Like, Facebook was cool at first, and then all of a sudden when I started getting, like, friend requests from my mom's friends, you know, like, then all of a sudden it was like, womp, womp. Find something else.
Well, too many people get real weird online and just start digging into your stuff and stalking you and looking at, where's Jenny going? Where's Jenny eat? She eats here every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Seems like if I go there on Tuesday, maybe I'll find Jenny. Well, hey, I really enjoy your tweets. You think you could sign my underwear?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, the people that think they know you based on, I think Instagram was more that way. Like, I have Twitter and Instagram and that's it. I don't have the other things, but I would have like...
I'm going to take an Instagram picture of you right now, and people will know that this happened while we're actually doing the podcast talking about Instagram. So look at me. Look at me. Bam. So I'll put that up, and people go, hey.
But I've had people, like, I went to, I took a road trip with friends to Big Sur, and I love Big Sur.
Holy shit, is it awesome up there.
So one of my friends took a picture of me. You know, you get no cell reception.
Right.
And so we're like on the side of the road. I'm holding my phone. I was like eating an apple and she took a picture. But it was so beautiful behind me. And I put that on Instagram like, oh, I'm in Big Sur. And then I have these people that are like, you have to stay at Ventana. That's where you have to stay. And you need to go eat. And I'm like, do you think I drove from L.A. to Big Sur without a plan like of where I'm going to stay and what I'm going to do? Like, they're telling me what I need to do.
Well, they're just trying to help.
No, it's in a different way. It's like, you need to do this. I don't know if it's like a deep-seated, like, as a kid being told that or something, but it's just so obnoxious to me. Yeah, it's like, I know, I have a plan. Don't worry, I'm good. I'm good.
See. You're a bit of a rebel. I see what's
going
on.
No, I think it was just, I'm probably an asshole. A bit of an asshole is probably more accurate.
I always assume, we have very different reactions to the same thing. I always assume that it's people that are in town that are trying to help me out and steer me towards a good spot.
No, you look at it, it's like they live in Vermont or something. They're just like, they've been there once and telling me what to do.
But don't you think they're just trying to steer you in the right direction? You're like, fuck you, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, no, I think they're horrible people. I think they're terrorists.
They're terrorist sympathizers at the very
least. Sympathizers, yeah. They're all about ISIS.
See, I always think they're just trying to help out. I think it's cool. I enjoy it when people do that. I even ask for suggestions.
That's different. No, I'll ask for suggestions. It's just, hey, I'm in Big Sur. And then it's like, you need to go eat here. You need to stay here. You have to do this. And I'm like, if you worded it in a way that was like, I don't know where you're staying, but I could tell you, like, I stayed here one time and it was... fantastic. It was more of like the telling me what to do
but
thing.
Don't you think that people say that when something's awesome? Like, dude, you need to check this out.
I find sometimes people do it to let me know they've been places.
Okay.
Does that ever happen? You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
It's like kind of a, yeah, I've been there
humble
too.
Humble brag almost?
Yeah, it's like a humble brag. It is like that. Or, oh, that jacket. Yeah, that, and then tell me the name of the jacket, like the brand or whatever. Like, I have that jacket too.
Do you react? Is it like men telling you to go somewhere and do things? Do you need to blow your nose?
Yeah, I do need to blow my nose. My allergies, my Claritin has not kicked in yet.
What do you have allergies to?
It's usually when it rains, whatever it kicks up. It's like pollen, ragweed, like all that kind
oil.
Of shit. Oil. I'm from Houston, though.
That's plenty of oil. But it's not that men.
No, it's not men.
It's
like it's typically women that do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cunts.
No, total. Men don't really actually bother me that much. I mean, that, you know, if somebody like will write something sexual or whatever, I'm like, ah, thanks. I got that. It doesn't. I don't get offended by it. I just think like, gives a shit.
Thanks.
High five. High fives to you. It is funny when you click on that. You can click on their page and you'll see it's like the pictures, you know, the guy and his wife and three little kids, and he's like, hey, I want to smell your vagina. You're like, I'm so glad you're married and a father. I just imagine my dad doing that growing up.
He would have if he had Instagram.
Oh, God, he wouldn't have.
No?
No.
Not yours?
Not my dad. He would have probably. He would have been more of the, you know, like when you're a kid, and like you walk in, your dad's watching TV, and it's like there's just tits on the screen. He's how did those get on there? I don't know.
What
you know,
is
like,
that?
Skinamax or whatever that he's flipping through, and then I walk in and surprise him, and he, oh, no, I was flipping, just trying to figure out this goddamn remote. That's fine. No. I'm not doing that.
But that's it. He grew up in a different era. If he grew up today.
Yeah.
Your era definitely forms you in a way.
And but see, my parents were like, my dad and I were like, I'm 40 years younger than my parents. Or my dad's no longer with us. But they were just older people that had kids later in life.
Wow. Well, they were still banging it out late in life. That's good.
Yeah. They were like married for, I think, like 15 years before they had my sister.
Wow.
Yeah. But the downside would be like my sister and I'd go, hey, we want to go to like California, go to Disneyland, Disney, you know. Now we've been there a million times. Like, you know, like, well, you just say, aw.
Yeah, that makes me sad.
Aw.
As a dad,
I love
doing shit with my kids.
Oh, we always did shit, but we grew up on the water, so we had like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we always went to the beach, boat, sailboat. We had all the fun stuff. It's not like we were.
In the Gulf? Yeah. That water? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of oil spills up in that motherfucker.
Now, probably a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't think there were so many when I was a kid.
They weren't digging offshore as much.
I don't think so.
I went to Santa Barbara recently, and after the big oil spill in the Gulf, whenever I see those fucking things out in the water, I say, well, this is a ticking time bomb.
Right.
So that's going to fuck up eventually, and then this beautiful beach is going to have oil all over it.
Well, the odds of it fucking up are actually, I mean, you think about how many rigs are in the water and how many spills there have actually been. It's, you know, it's not the odds of all of those things having a spill is pretty.
It's fairly low. But
it's fairly low, but it's always like human error. It's just they're not hiring, and it's always BP. And I actually think it's always BP. They don't hire the right people. It's not always other companies.
Well, the last big BP oil spill, they cut corners. Like, it's fact that they cut corners in the way they constructed it because they were behind budget. But
exactly.
The amount of wells they have versus the amount of accidents that occur and the devastation that occurs because of those accidents, that's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is when those accidents do occur, the fucking catastrophic damage is so devastating that each one of those things is a ticking time bomb. And how long have they been doing it? Well, they've only been doing those offshore oil drills for like 30 or 40 years, I think. I don't think it's been more than that.
I think it's just over 40. I think
So. To me, I look at it like nuclear power. There's only been a couple nuclear accidents.
Yeah.
But those accidents are fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Fukushima, everybody's sort of forgotten about it.
Right.
But I still check on the news on Fukushima because the mainstream news has completely stopped paying attention to it. But
right.
If you pay attention to it, if you go and search out, it's a clusterfuck over there. It's really bad.
Yeah.
And it's not getting any better, like, anytime soon.
No. I grew up in the town I grew up in actually had a nuclear power plant.
Whoa.
Yeah. Really? Then rigs everywhere. I mean, it was just, I'm surprised I don't have like a fucking arm growing out of my head.
I have a buddy who has bone cancer because he grew up next to a golf course. And the, really? Fucking golfing gives you bone cancer. No, the pesticides that they would use on the golf course to keep the weeds down sank into the wells. And so they had well water.
Oh, wow.
And everybody on his fucking block got cancer. Like, literally everybody got cancer. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, my dad, I mean, he died from cancer, but he also worked at a chemical plant for 37 years. So, like, you can't tell me that that didn't, like, play into him getting diagnosed with cancer.
100%.
You're just smelling chemicals all day long. Like, there's just no way. And I know all the people that he's worked with and how many people have ended up, you know, getting some fucked up kind of cancer. You're like, Jesus, man.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Do you feel like there's a weird thing going on with Instagram and social media and stuff like that, that there's this new sort of intimacy that's very difficult to navigate? It's like when I was saying that people like sort of contact you like they know you or they reach out to you and give you suggestions like they know you. There's an intimacy that people have with people that like them or follow them that you didn't have to really handle 20, 30 years ago.
Well, people have access to you.
Yes.
You know, you have access to them if you're so inclined. And, you know, like, I'll get people, because now, like, with Instagram, you can direct message on Instagram and Twitter, you know.
Do you,
like,
read those, though?
You know, sometimes I'll click and I could see what it is. Uh-huh. And if it's just something I'm like, I've already seen it. Or I can't sit there and accept everything, because then everybody would keep, you know, sending things.
How many Instagram followers do you have?
Like 57,000.
That's a lot of fucking people if they all hit you at once.
Yeah. Brrr,
all dick pics.
So I try to be.
How many dick pics do you get on a daily? One or two?
Not as much as I should. You know, that's what I think. I think I'm kind of disappointed at
you
my like level.
More.
Yeah, or
guess
somebody
what?
Else send me like the same dick. I'm like, I've seen that dick
that's
before. No, that's
dick.
Not your dick. Shame on you.
That's sad when they get a Google image dick.
Yeah, they're like Google image somebody else's dick. And I'm like, don't do that.
Guess what? After this podcast, they're coming.
Thank you.
People,
Jenny Johnson, high five.
They're following up right now.
Just right hear now. The cameras clicking away.
Yeah, they're right now they're unzipping.
And I don't want a filter on them either.
Thickening
no
up.
Filters.
Do you prefer semi, rigid, flaccid?
I just find it entertaining that anybody would do it. I can't ever say that. It's different, like, for guys. Like, if everyone's, like, sending you boobs, like, you're going to be happy with boobs.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know any girls that are, like, stoked when a guy sends them a dick pic.
There's got to be some.
I mean, I get, trust me, my phone is filled with some of the nastiest shit you've ever seen. Like, the GIF, pictures, videos. I have a filthy sense of humor. But I've never just gotten a picture of a dick and been like, wow, that, I want to meet the guy attached to that. Like, I've never felt that way.
But you're not a hoe.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe I could try work on that.
But it's weird. Like, sometimes I'll get a photo like from someone I have no idea who they are, and it's just their vagina, and I'm like, okay.
And you're just like,
but that's not something you would do,
no,
right?
I would never do that.
But you wouldn't like find some musician that you really like and send him a picture of your asshole. But there's girls who do that. They're like,
God
hey,
bless them, you know.
Look at this. See?
You know, they got free time. They're proud.
But I think the kind of girl that would send you a photo of her vagina, it was the kind of girl who would love a dick pic. Like, all right.
Probably
reciprocation.
So. I would, thanks, you know.
Yeah.
It's good manners. It's good behavior.
You give some, I give some.
Yeah, I can't say that I would ever, I mean, I would never do that. It's just not, I just, the idea of me even doing it is hilarious to me. Like, okay, well, let me go. Bloop.
Yeah.
Like. And then, like, taking a bunch to decide which one you like the most.
Because
you know it wasn't a one-take vagina pic. You know,
well, it's like, really bad if you get a vagina pic and it's, like, that sort of frosty, foggy Photoshop thing, filter.
Oh, it looks like a glamour shot or something.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Is that a real vagina or is this some anime?
Did you send me that in a 1977 filter?
This is fucking Playboy from the early 80s. You know, they have these weird images. Like, sometimes people will take pictures and you look at the picture and you're like, that is not even you. Fucking Dane Cook has done that a couple times. So I've looked at his images. I'm like, what kind of filters are you using, buddy? Like, what's going on there?
Oh, Dane Cook's. He has a pretty
hilarious Instagram page for all the wrong reasons.
I was trying to word it properly, but yeah, you know, just him without his shirt on or something, and then this like long paragraph of how blessed and
Yeah,
and it's at some point I'm like, if he is really making a joke, that's amazing, but he's not.
Hashtag blessed. Yeah, I don't
hashtag
think
blessed. I can't even do it. It's
maybe
so
it
bad.
Is a joke. Maybe the entire thing has been.
I don't
a
even
long,
follow him. I just randomly will type
joke
in his name, and then just because I'm like, let me see what this is, and then it never doesn't make me laugh. It's funny every single time.
I've seen some good ones. There's a lot of people that I follow like that. They just say ridiculous shit, so I follow them for that. Just hoping they're going to say something stupid.
I like the people that will post things like to show you how great their life is, but then it's the humble brag kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like I remember this one girl was like trying to show that her son had like straight A's on his report card, and so like the way that she was holding it was also to show that she was wearing a Rolex and she had a nice big fucking ring on, but it was like perfectly in the frame that way. And I thought, that is amazing that you just did that, and I know exactly what you're doing, but you think you're outsmarting everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so proud of my son, hashtag love my son, and then just bling.
We're weird little monkeys in that regard.
Yeah,
weird
I mean,
little peacocking monkeys.
And then some things, it's like, my mom is like the best at this, because if my sister will send like a picture of my nephew on his first day of school, you know, everybody likes to do that. First day of school, lunchbox, backpack, and standing in front of the front door, my mom will reply back, because it'll be like a group email, and she'll go, you need to get those fingerprints off the front door. You have fingerprints. Like, she looks past the picture to see what's behind that. My sister's front door has glass, and there's fucking fingerprints everywhere. Like, I kind of love that. And if you look at everyone's picture and do that, it's pretty hysterical. Like, what's in the background?
Right.
I love that. It makes me laugh every time.
This is one of the saddest pictures I ever saw. It was this girl. She had her ass up in the air. And, you know, she's like posing doggy style. And in the background, the lower left corner is a baby. It's like crawling around the ground like a little toddler. It's like, whoa, that's dark. Like, you could see him like in the hallway in the lower left corner of the picture. Like,
oh, God, it's disgusting. But then I also like there's certain people that will post the picture where maybe they're on the beach, okay, and they're looking out at the water, and they'll put some like inspirational quote, you know, something that's like, you know, Jesus be with, blah, 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 blah. All I'm going is, who the fuck took that picture?
Yes.
You had to ask somebody to do that, and I guarantee you, again, wasn't a first take. You know, like, it was not the first take. Like, they had to go, no, get up that rock a little more, get my jawline. You know, like, I want to look sharp and look, like, really smart. And
yeah.
That's actually my favorite thing on Instagram. I just like looking at people's pictures when, like, what are you trying to get across to everybody? Like,
yeah, knowing the people are going to see it.
And like, I know what you're doing.
But some people can do it and it works. Like you know who I follow that I legitimately enjoy is The Rock.
I think The Rock gets it, too. I think that he gets...
He's having fun. Yeah.
I actually like him,
but
too.
But he's inspirational. Like, he'll post, like, stuff about him getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to work out before getting to the set. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like he's bragging at all. I feel like he's inspiring people. Like, he inspires me.
Yeah. Actually, that kind of stuff will get, you know... Okay, yeah. Get to the gym. You know, like... Yeah. Yeah, it is, like, kind of a... But I don't feel that he's full of shit. I've never felt like he was full of shit. Even when he was fucking wrestling, he got it. He's wrestling. It's funny. Yeah. You know, he's playing a character, and... I've always liked him. I thought he was...
Well, by all accounts, he's a really great guy. Everybody that I've ever met that met him, that worked with him or knew him, says he's a really nice guy. Just having fun.
Have you ever met him before?
Yeah, I met him a long time ago. I met him before he was The Rock. He wasn't really that famous. I met him... I was on MTV for one of those spring break things in Mexico, like Cancun or something like that. I just said hi to him. Just a big guy. But he wasn't big like he is now.
Yeah.
He was like... He looked like a regular athlete.
Yeah.
Now he's just this fucking gigantic,
huge,
over-muscled guy.
Yeah, it was like, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was like some after Golden Globe party or whatever. And I saw him and he's a fucking wall. I mean, he's a huge dude.
He's like 250, all muscle, no fat.
Just completely, just totally yoked. Yeah, I like The Rock thing. Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy, but it's...
If I was a chick, I'd fuck him. How about that?
How about
Said
that?
It. I like Said it.
I said it. I like it.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys that poses in front of a private jet and it doesn't bother me. You know?
Like that he takes always, those, that's, yeah, so, that's God, a, that's such a anytime I've been on a private jet, I'm like, I could never do it.
Really?
I couldn't do it. I would feel so douchey.
It's a douchey move, but
there he is
right there.
Look at
velvet
that blazer.
Suit. And again, see, that someone had to take that photo. But it doesn't bother me.
We own the night. Thank you, Golden Globes, for a spectacular evening. Wheels up in Miami bound. Ballers. Said, here I come. Let's shoot. Ball so hard.
See, hashtag Velvet Blaze.
Like, that is the massive potential for douche involved in that photo is overwhelming, yet it doesn't come off douchey for whatever reason. 4:33 a.m. See that?
I want to tap.
And a.m. cardio before I head to work. Yes. Hashtag Jesus needs my cup of unleaded.
Let's whatever. Roll.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't bother me. He's just one of those guys. He can get away with it. Oh, only 319,000 likes. What does he have, like 50 million followers or something like that?
How many followers do you have?
I don't know. I think I have like 800,000.
Just that video of what happens to an Instagram account when you have 8 million followers and you post something.
What happens?
I'll show you the little video.
It just explodes?
Yeah, it made this person's phone go crazy.
Oh, well, you have the fucking...
Well, I have everything turned off.
You can't have that shit turned on. Oh, my God. That would be insane.
Have you ever been with somebody that has a lot of followers and then you see their notification pop up that they had a like or that some... Have you ever been around somebody that...
Yeah, Doug Benson used to have that. He shut it off. But
yeah,
he
but
used
it's
to
like,
have
why
it on.
Do you do that? Like,
oh my God, look at the phone. Oh my God, that's insane.
Whose phone is it?
Oh my God, that is insane.
It's like a soccer account, so just like some soccer sports memes kind of thing.
Oh my God, that is fucking insane.
I'm waiting for the phone to just...
It's like a waterfall. It'd be a great way to test the battery. I bet that battery life is just shrinking.
Just watching the top just...
Like a gigantic V8 engine when you stomp on the gas.
God, that is insane.
That is amazing. Wow.
Rich Kids of China. Did you see that?
Well, any rich people Instagram, like Rich Kids of Dubai, like those things are hilarious.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
We live in strange times.
I cannot have the notification thing. I just don't. I don't know. I don't care enough. I guess maybe I should.
Well, it's just not smart. Your phone was constantly. I mean, my phone. If you text me, I assume I like you and I want to talk to you.
Right.
And that's what essentially it is. Someone's reaching out and contacting you, and I have to always.
But I don't even keep that. I don't keep a notification even for a text.
You don't?
No.
Doesn't buzz? Your phone doesn't buzz if someone texts you?
I have everything turned off. So because I don't like being rude when I'm in front of like, bling, you know, like I'll get to it when it's if it was an emergency, you know, like.
They would call you or something. Yeah. Huh. Well, everybody must know then. You can't text Jenny and have her text you right back.
Well, I feel like, you know, like if you're at dinner with your friends or something and people, there's that friend that just won't put the fucking phone down.
That's rude.
Yeah. Well, so so if anything I'm doing, I always try to keep my phone.
You ever see Anthony Bourdain's show, Parts Unknown?
Actually, I caught part of it the other night.
Great fucking show. Yeah. But anyway, he has these friends that he turned me on to that are in Montreal. They own this restaurant called Joe Beef. and it's fucking fantastic. I mean, it is one of the greatest restaurants in the history of the world. And they did this episode with these guys where they were on, they went ice fishing. Mm-hmm. And they set up this ice fishing, because they're in Montreal.
Right.
So it's cold as fuck. So they set up this shack on a lake. And inside it, they had like a full gourmet meal. They set up like the whole deal, like beautiful tablecloths, great food, and the whole deal. And they were talking about like, how do you set up? Like, what do you have rules when you go to dinner? And he was like, rule number one, I shut my phone off because I want to have a good conversation.
Right.
I want to be a good dinner guest.
Right.
I want to be someone who sits there. I'm like, how many people do that? How many people shut their phone off? Just shut your fucking phone off.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
How many times
few.
You go to a restaurant, you see people just staring at their phone when another person's over there staring at their phone.
Right.
Like, Jesus.
It's like, oh, they're in love.
Well, they're
or
texting
when you see
each other.
The family of four and the kids even have headphones on and they're just staring. And you're like, your communication skills are going to suck ass when you're older because no one's talking to you. You don't want to talk to them. No one's forcing you to.
Well, I have a folder on my phone that's all for my kids. My kids, their little fingerprints open my phone up.
Uh-huh.
And they'll, like, if I leave my phone around, they grab it because they think it's fun to set your fingerprint. 5 and 7,
okay.
The little ones.
Yeah.
And so they'll go to the folder and... If I don't let them play with the phone, I'm like, no, come on, let's just have a conversation. Oh!
What?
Come on. Yeah. Can I just play with your phone? Like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Can I play with your phone? No, I just said you can't.
Yeah.
Can I please play with your phone? No, you can't play with the phone. Let's just hang out and talk.
Oh.
Hanging out. When that hovers over your head as an option to talking to your parents, mm-hmm. it's so attractive mm-hmm. that they just can't. Well, can I play with your phone now? No, you just asked 30 seconds ago, you little fuck. Come on. I don't say that, but...
But it is. I mean, like, I saw kids actually walking, like, just a group of kids where the gym is that I work out at, where, like, Fairfax High School is.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to this little boxing gym, and there's an alleyway where the kids will walk. And so, like, when you're in there, you can watch them walking after school, and every single one is just buried in their phone.
Yeah.
They don't look up. They're just...
Some lady walked right into me at the airport the other day.
Just on her phone.
I was like, is she going to walk right into me? Bam! Just wasn't even looking. Just hoping that people would just get out of her way. I was like, this is hilarious. This lady's just walking forward just, while texting.
Yeah.
All I did was stop. I was like, okay, what's going on here?
Like,
boom!
She can't just, like, go to the side no. and...
Just, how do you walk and text
I
in
no
a crowded
idea.
Place
I would
at an
fall...
airport?
Yeah, and plus there's fucking chairs, like, everywhere.
Yeah, have a seat, bitch.
Yeah, have a seat at one of the gates.
Well, how many times have you been on the road and you watch someone swerving and you go, this fucker's texting, I know it. You pull up beside them and you see the light of their phone illuminating their
right.
face. As they're...
Or when it's like you're at a red light turns green and they're still sitting there
yep.
because they're...
Yeah.
And somebody has to honk and then...
Well, this can't, again, I think these things go back to what I was talking about earlier, that media, I think, is too compelling for our yeah. natural response systems, our natural instincts and reward systems that are in place for people. Like, this is, like, too much going on there.
It's too fun.
It's too... peek in there. Woo!
Yeah.
You know? Like,
but have you ever got, like, where you were on a long flight and there was, like, no Wi-Fi or whatever and you couldn't wait to play with your phone?
Mm.
You know, like, you get...
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, you 5-hour flight, you land, and then when you're finally, like, in a chair and you're comfortable, you're like... You're
check my email!
You're
well,
just,
when you go to Australia, 16 hours with
oh,
no
brutal.
Email.
Right.
Well, you know about that lady that texted that joke about AIDS?
She, yes.
Well, that was what we were talking about when we were talking about you. This
she
woman who did it was like one of those people that
yeah.
would do that. She would text funny shit.
Right.
Like, and, you know, controversial, try to be funny and
right.
try to be rude. And she texts this joke about, I'm going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white, LOL.
Which I read and
I thought
I
it was
laughed.
Funny.
Yeah, I laughed. I
but
mean,
she's fucked. I mean,
oh, yeah,
she,
they, I mean, she got shit canned, didn't she?
Yeah,
they,
she got shit canned, and now she works for one of those, like sort of like DraftKings, one of those kind of companies.
Oh, they're
and
about
she's
to get
she's involved
shit-canned
in another company. Yeah. Why are they getting shit canned, though? I don't understand.
I think they got too greedy with their commercials.
Oh, really?
You know, because everybody that did fantasy football and shit like that were... You know, all the cool dudes have got to go to Hooters on Saturday morning to draft my team,
right.
you know, that kind of thing. And I think that it just got too, like, in your face. Like, yeah, we're gambling. We don't give a shit. Here's our ad for it. Like, you can't do that.
But it should be legal. It should be
fucking
legal.
Trust me, it should totally be legal. But the reason they're in trouble, I think, is they got too greedy.
Is that why they're in trouble? Jamie, you know about all that stuff.
I think
you're
it is why they're in trouble, right?
Is that why they're in trouble?
Sort of. They're being, from what I understand, they're being a little bit deceptive in what's actually going on. There's some people that have, only like, from what I've read, 1% of the people that actually play are winning like 99% of the money.
Smart ones, like the rest of the world.
They have some algorithms, used to be professional poker players online,
and
they've all moved into this world, sort of.
Oh, so they've figured out how to do it with math.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all math, that's Excel programs.
I would not be able to do that.
Well, I used to have this sponsor called Lumosity. And Lumosity is like their brain games, and they're supposed to like increase your IQ. They're kind of interesting. They're supposed
okay.
to increase you. There are games that you play that can actually accelerate learning or help you learn or make your brain work better.
Yeah, there's
well,
some that are
just...
like threes. There's like some number games that
yeah.
are supposed to help you.
Chess helps
is, yeah.
your brain.
Yeah.
Well, these people got greedy with their claims, and now they're fucked. And they just had a judgment against them for like millions of dollars they had
oh,
to pay
shit.
Back. Yeah. Because they were saying shit like it could... I guess they had alluded to the idea that it would help stave off early Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I had read something about that because there was different games and there was something that was... Like, if you're driving somewhere and there was a thing like, drive with oven mitts on or, you know...
What?
Yeah, like it was like, do something different. Like, you always
okay.
go to the grocery store, you go on this aisle, start in the middle. Like, you know, it's so as people get older, as you get older, you really get set in your ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know to go this way to this place, go the other way.
Oh, how fucked up are
but something
human
to
beings?
Just kind of jar your brain, you know, like to make
yeah.
you oh, okay, now I have to think. Because usually, you, after a while, you're just a robot. Just,
yeah.
You're doing exactly the same damn thing. And go to a different grocery store. You gotta,
yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. And which I loved. My mom's, I told her about this, and she goes, oh, well, okay, well, tell me. And I said, well, like when you go to the grocery store, I said, go a different route. Take, you know, take the 7th Street and go around. Well, I'm not doing that. I was like, okay, well, when you go to the, I said, but when you go in, you always start at produce. I said, go start at the bread aisle. And the other said, well, that's just stupid. I'm not doing that. I was like, well, fine. I'll see you in the nursing home. I don't know what to say. Trying to help. Jesus.
People are, it's weird that people have that thing where, like, patterns or they actually sort of like limit the possibilities that your brain has to consider. So your brain sort of atrophies.
Yeah.
Almost like, you know, like not lifting weights or not exercising or something along those lines.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like I have to go exercise. Like that helps me. Like mm-hmm. it makes me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely. Helps. That helps a lot. But
do you do that before shows? Do you find out like if you have an important show that exercising sort of alleviates?
Oh, yeah. I try to do.
Fuck,
yeah.
For me, it's cardio. Like hard cardio. Uh-huh. I'll do like elliptical machine or something like that for like a half an hour before a show. I feel so much better. It's almost like, I know it doesn't work that way, but it's almost like I got to clean out my brain pipes. Like I'm just flushing the system with blood. I know it doesn't really work that way.
No, but it's like, I actually think it does, because have you ever had a show where, you know, you got somewhere and you're like, okay, I have to take a nap because mm-hmm. you've been going.
Yeah.
You take a nap, you wake up to go to the show,
mm-hmm.
and I'm mush. Like I just... You know, I've just woken up.
Right,
like,
right,
I just don't
right.
feel as sharp.
Yeah.
As if, I, you know, when
exercise.
I go work out and then I'm just going, I'm like, I'm ready to go then.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the mechanisms are that are going on inside the mind when you're exercising. But there's something that the mind gets exercised to as well as the body, because your mind has to move the body.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you think of exercise being a non-mental thing. Because,
yeah.
Oh, you're just a meathead, just fucking working out, lifting weights. But there's something that's going on while your brain is forcing your body to do these movements. You're exercising willpower. You're exercising, like, determination and focus. There's all these things that are going on
yeah.
that I think accentuate intellectual pursuits.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does. I mean, like, I go to this boxing gym, and I don't actually spar with people, but it's just one-on-one me and my trainer. But he'll, you know, pads on his hands, and
mm-hmm.
he... I have to do combinations.
Right.
And I have to think. And I know when I start getting really tired and I need to get a drink of water, like, I'll start forgetting.
Right.
I can watch myself be fresh and then I'm like, oh, whoa. Yeah, you told me to weave. Okay, hang on. You know, then go back at it again. Let me get a drink of water. But I like it because it makes me think while I'm doing something.
Right.
I still have to concentrate on exactly, you know, whatever it is I'm doing. So there is something to it. I agree with that.
Yeah, any sort of exercise that you have to think about things. Like, they say handball is really good for the mind.
Really?
Like, yeah. Racquetball, handball, things along those lines. So that ball's coming, you don't know where it's going. You have to really anticipate what's happening.
Would tennis be the same thing?
Yeah, I would imagine tennis would be the same thing. Like, because is hand-eye coordination involved
yeah.
with fast motion, calculations, the spin of the ball, the ball's bouncing, here it goes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of different things you have to sort of trick your mind into getting engaged with.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know, like, what causes Alzheimer's. Like, what's the cause of it? Is it just...
I think it's a genetic issue.
Is it?
I believe so.
But
I believe people have a genetic propensity for it.
But I wonder if people that just do, like, when people get old and they're just in the recliner all fucking day long and that's
yeah.
it, they're watching the same shit, like, you're not challenging yourself ever.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that factors in at all.
I think it certainly can factor in, but people that have it, it is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
People that I know, I have a friend whose girlfriend's dad has it,
mm-hmm.
and they have to go visit, and it's just, he's just barely there. He's completely out of it. And it was an interesting podcast. I think it was Radiolab, where they're talking about, they were trying to repopulate the whooping crane. The whooping crane was like in danger of extinction.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that they had done was they tried to come up with new migration paths for these animals.
Oh, I think I read something about that.
Well, this lady had bird feeders in her yard.
Uh-huh.
And these whooping cranes had come to her yard to use the bird feeders. And, you know, they were setting up these bird feeders and, you know, interacting with them. And the scientists that had spent so much money and so much time trying to engage these whooping cranes into forming these new migration paths, were trying to get her to stop doing it, trying to get her to stop feeding the birds,
mm-hmm.
because these birds, they don't want them, they want them to be wild. They don't want them to rely on people. And
right.
also, because these patterns were predictable, people would find them, and some people were shooting the whooping cranes and shit. They had lost a few of them, and they had spent fucking ungodly amounts of money trying to repopulate right. these birds. But her husband had Alzheimer's, like real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that would get him excited was birds.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be out there with her, and he would see the birds. He would, oh, look, there he is right there.
Right.
And she said, like, for that brief moment, while these birds were there, he would be back. And
oh.
she'd be able to engage him and talk to him.
Yeah.
But when the birds were gone, he just drifted away.
He went right back.
And he was gone. And so she was like, fuck you.
I'm
hanging out with my husband with the birds. It was weird, you know?
That's pretty, yeah. It's actually kind of incredible. I mean, I remember like when my dad, like before he died, this is a real fun story, but my mom was like, you know, just they were frustrated with each other. You know, he's just riddled with cancer. She's trying to help. He's pissed, you know, and they never fought. They never like ever. So it was weird to see them that way. But then if somebody came that he didn't know, he would come back. Like it was like you're a new person. It's not the same shit. You know, like, as soon as somebody brand new came in, like, if it was a nurse or somebody he didn't know, I would watch him just immediately come back, you know? Like, I don't know if he was trying to be more hospitable or if it was, like, what it was, but just, you would watch him just like it could just switch and he would be nice.
Well, I think novelty, new things, new experiences, new places, all those things stimulate areas of our brain that we kind of take for granted.
Yeah.
Like, I like doing things that I suck at. That's one of the things that I really like doing.
Right.
I like doing things that I'm not good at. I'm new at them.
Yeah.
And because I'm new at them, I get obsessed with it. Like,
you want to be good at it.
Like,
but you're probably competitive.
To a fault
right.
of issues.
Yeah. But, no, I'm too. Like, I'll be sweating at a board game or something. Like, just.
Well, I was real bad when I was young. I'm way better at it now. Way better. Because now I understand what it is. Back then, I just would be overwhelmed by the demon.
Yeah.
And I just needed to win, you know, find a way to win.
Right.
But just new things, like even things that aren't competitive. Like, well, I guess archery can be competitive, but I just do it like sort of as practice. But I'm obsessed with it. Because I suck at it, for whatever reason, like when I'm practicing, it just becomes my entire focus. And these new things like that, like yoga is another thing. I fucking suck at it. But
I tried yoga once.
I love doing it.
I can't do it.
How come you can't do it? You only tried it once.
I'm not flexible.
Oh, well, that's because you got to stretch. What the fuck kind of
logic
is that?
I know. But I sucked at it.
That's like saying, yeah, I tried playing football, but I'm not good at it.
Well,
I
like to move around a lot more.
Oh, okay.
So that's why yoga really wasn't. I like feeling like I'm doing. I like to go jog. I like to, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's not enough moving about for me.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the whole practice of it is
right.
practice being still and holding poses.
My
point is I'm not good at it, but so I'm obsessed with it.
Right.
So when I do it, it just becomes like this overwhelming thing for me where I concentrate on it all the time, and I'll do it a couple days a week, and for the other days that I'm not doing it, I'm thinking about it a lot of time.
That's interesting.
Mm.
I think that's why stand-up does that for me.
Oh, yeah.
Stand-up really does that for me because I always get a little nervous before I go, you know, like you...
Mm-hmm.
And if it works, you know, and if it doesn't, you figure out what joke didn't work, why it did, you know, should I scrap it? Should I change it? Should
right.
I? But I, that's one thing I really love about stand-up is it does, like, jar me, you know? It makes me, like, you know, like how you feel when you get off stage and you're, like, all psyched up and shit. Like, I love that feeling of being nervous and, you know, on stage. And that always is very, like, rewarding to me.
Well, stand-up is one of the few things that's still challenging in that way all these years later, 26-plus years later for me. But it's also because I write new stuff.
Yeah.
That's the key. Is
practicing new material.
Yeah.
That's always, yeah.
Having new material, constantly writing, if you don't do that, then you get trapped.
Yeah.
And if you get trapped with an act, like, we all know those older comics that have been around for 50 fucking years or whatever,
right.
and they have that act where they're doing, like, Reagan impressions right. and need some more tissues.
Yeah, I've got one.
Claritin, powerful Claritin.
It hasn't kicked in yet.
Mm.
I took it on the way here.
Are you allergic to anything else? Cats, dogs, cheese, milk, nothing?
No, just shit
wheat.
Flying through the air.
You don't even know what it is, huh?
No, I know. It's like pollen. Every time it rains, that's when it happens. So it's whatever's kicked up, like ragweed, pollen.
Is it seasonal? times of year?
Yeah.
Did you get it in Houston as well?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Just different times of year in Houston. It's different out here. I've actually had it worse out here, which is weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the climate. Like, I was in a really humid climate. I don't know if there's just something else maybe that I'm allergic to that I don't know. But
Houston.
I've noticed that because my eyes get a little burn, you know, and I'll get like that, you know, they're just real red. I could feel like everything's draining.
That's interesting because a lot of people move to like dry desert climates like Arizona to try to avoid.
Believe me, I know it's weird. That I don't know what it is, but it's been worse since I've been in L.A. So
Houston in the summer is one of the most bizarre environments.
Oh, it's fucking brutal.
It's just you're just breathing water. You're like,
yeah, everything's
like,
just
it's wet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you feel like you could drain your lungs.
It'll be like 100 degrees and 100% humidity.
Yeah,
it's just it's the insane. Windows outside. You walk up, you're wearing sunglasses. They fog up and everything.
Yeah, your sunglasses fog up. Your clothes instantly stick to you.
Like yeah, like everything. Your t-shirts will start feeling a little flimsy. Like if you had one of those like stiff, you know, t-shirts, all of a sudden it's real flimsy on you.
Wet,
like,
just so stuck gross. To you. Yeah, but it's really good for your skin.
Is it?
Yeah, chicks stay young looking for a long time out there.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't earn a while.
Stay moist.
I'm just kidding. Stay everything. Moist.
Facially. Skin-wise. I don't mean the other way.
Moist.
Maybe
facially
they do that
doesn't
way too. Yeah, your skin, your facial skin stays moist. Does that make sense? Am I lying? Am I making things okay?
I use lotion.
Yeah, well, that helps too.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah, I do that.
But I think that the environment, like the dry air environment, is bad for your skin.
Well, it definitely is because I know like when those moments during the summertime out here when it's just fucking that just gnarly heat, that desert heat. That
hair dryer heat.
Oh, my God. And it's like my skin is like drinking the lotion that I put on it. It's like how my skin already like dried out again. You know, like you're just sitting there just it's pretty not fun. But I like it out here better.
What do you like it out here? But more open-minded, more...
No, there's just more to do.
Oh.
You know, I like doing all the stand-up stuff and writing, and it's different because I moved out
career
here.
Wise.
Yeah, career-wise. So I love my career, so that makes it, you know... So, and plus, the weather's usually always nice out here. I like the beaches. I like to surf. I like to... You know, it's fun.
There's two things I don't like out here. One, the overpopulation.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously overcrowded.
The traffic sucks.
Traffic sucks, that stuff. And two, there's... Go ahead. She's tucking away.
No, I'm just like throwing all my fucking tissues in. It's really impressive.
The other thing is there's this disingenuous aspect of the entertainment industry. There's this shallow, weird sort of actor-y thing that I think is a product of people having to audition. So you're constantly having to get people to like you. So you put on this sort of fake behavior.
Oh, yeah.
And then you become a part of whatever clique or whatever pattern that you think is like in the vogue, in popular. You know, like how many people called Caitlyn Jenner a hero and, you know, like it's where, you know, you're in with the right sensibilities, right, you know.
Everyone likes you.
Yeah.
Even though in your head you could be like, what the fuck?
Coney 2012. I mean, there was like this fucking Coney 2012 where everybody fucking jumped on board. I'm like, do you even know what the fuck you have a bumper sticker for?
Do you know that I still hashtag that?
Coney 2012?
But I'll do it on something that makes absolutely no sense. It's just a horrible dick joke, and then I always have put Coney 2012. I'm like, I'm not going to let it die. I'm just going to keep it.
You shouldn't.
I want it to stay relevant, Coney 2012.
That's one of my favorite all-time human folly stories, because the guy who started that whole movement.
That meltdown he had.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was amazing. So good. That was a true meltdown.
Yeah. Well, like, I think he was probably completely insane before he started.
Absolutely.
And then the pressure of the success of the movement. Like, somehow or another, this guy got celebrities and all these world-famous people were on board because it became the cause du jour, you know?
Right.
It was the thing.
Yeah. It was the flavor of the month. I mean, he, like, how long did it last? So I'm trying to think.
It's quite a while. 6 months, maybe?
Okay.
Something like that.
But it was amazing. Yeah, every celebrity was on board wearing their T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Coney 2012.
I saw so many bumper stickers.
Oh, my God.
One day, jerking off in front of people, running around the street with your pants down, screaming.
He was completely naked, just screaming on the corner. And I was like, Coney 2012, don't forget.
It's over.
Don't forget, blessed.
Hashtag blessed. And it ended. Like
that. That was it.
Like that. That's all it took.
It was like people talked a little bit about the meltdown, and then it was like something else happened. We never heard. Like, who knows what that guy is doing right now?
But to me, that embodies the disingenuous aspect of a lot of the Hollywood, like, activism type behavior. Yeah. It's like, I don't necessarily think they're really interested in the activism as much as they're interested in people thinking they're interested in the activism. They're trying to put together a package, you know, and that package is how you look, how you dress, how you act, mm-hmm. how you behave. And you have to have liberal sensibilities because you want to be fucking cast. So you have to connect with these people that are the casting agents. You can't have, you know, you can't be outrageous in any way that's non.
You can't be a Republican.
Oh, no.
If you say you're a Republican, like, who's it that said it? Rob Schneider or somebody said he was a Republican?
Is he?
I think he said it, but it was just like...
Well, he's a fucking vaccine denier, and he's got a lot of weird shit going
right,
on with him.
But it's like, if you... It's not liberal, you know, like...
Yeah.
Well, I guess a vaccine...
There's a lot of vaccine deniers that are liberal.
But it's such a weird thing that if you do something that's not the norm out here, everyone just treats you like a bag of shit, and you're like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't feel like... I don't have that problem because I'm not an actor.
Right.
I'm a writer, and I do stand-up. But also, I don't know if it's because I moved out here. I'm 37. So I didn't move out here at 19, starry-eyed, with five roommates and an efficiency.
Right.
You know, like
super vulnerable to other ideas.
I'm like, no, I've been working. I have a stock portfolio. I bought a house. Like I was. So I didn't really give a shit the way that I think that if you come out here so early, you're totally affected by it.
Yeah. Well, I've met a lot of people that were really young when they came out here, and I met them young when they were out here. Like I did a show once back in the day with this guy who was an actor, and he was like 22, and he was this handsome guy, and he was trying so hard to fucking be that guy.
Right.
You know, and we were talking about, do you remember that Jack Nicholson movie with Helen Hunt? I think it's called As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
I fucking hated that movie.
Right.
I hated that movie with every fiber of my being. And one of the reasons why I hated it, because I felt sad that this woman who's a single mom, and she seemed really nice, and Jack Nicholson's a piece of shit, and he's an asshole, and she's stuck with him, and like, this is as good as you get.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole idea of it. And then there's this fucking ridiculous idea that he was racist because he needed medication. So they gave him medication, he stopped being racist. Like, what the fuck kind of movie is? Like, this is gross. And so he and I were having this conversation because it was the movie that everybody enjoyed.
Oh, everyone. She won a fucking...
It was amazing.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for it, I think.
So he and I were having this conversation. He was doing that thing that they do where if it is something that everybody likes, he likes it. And I go, I fucking hated that movie. And he's like, why? He goes, it was an amazing movie. I go, it was amazing. I go, it's amazing. What the fuck? And she's this poor woman who has this kid, and he's this old cunt, and she's stuck with him.
Right.
And he
because
goes,
she
well,
can't get anybody any better, so she'd rather her sickly kid be around that creepy dude with sunglasses on indoors. Like,
what?
Yeah.
So he goes, actually, I thought he had a lot to offer her. I go, what did you just say? He had a lot to offer. What? Breathing? He's
money.
Breathing around her?
Like, he had money and she didn't.
What does that mean?
It was even worse. Like, the purpose of that movie was disgusting.
But when I had this conversation with him about it, it became clear really early on when I started chipping away at it. Like, what was it that got you about the movie? What got him is that everybody was saying they liked it.
Right.
Everybody said they liked it, so he wanted to say he liked it. So
and
he was
he's
just
racking his brain for what was that? One thing that person said about it.
He's an interesting case because he got real hot real quick. Like, people were really into him. But then they found out he was kind of dumb, and it just drifted away. It just ended.
So I thought that was okay in Hollywood.
He can only be so dumb.
Oh.
He was real fucking
super
dumb. There's a lot of people that they get, like, a little bit of juice in the beginning, and like, whoa, it's really starting to happen.
Right.
So it's not, and then the juice cuts off.
Sure.
And then some new one with maybe better cheeks or something.
Right. I mean, everybody has their moments of getting hot and then cold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to hope if you get cold, you get hot. You know, it's really fucking stupid. I don't know. Like, during that whole Chris Brown thing, that's my only, like, example. So, of course, I was getting invited to be on shows and talk about it, and I declined everything. I was like, no, I'm not.
Good for you.
I was like, absolutely not. I will.
For the Chris Brown thing, we talked about it before the podcast, but if people don't know, Chris Brown obviously was in trouble because he beat up Rihanna and that whole thing, and, you know, the domestic violence issue.
Right.
And you had tweeted something at him. What did you tweet?
Well, it was like, my lowest form of comedy writing is the celebrity retweet. It's because I can't think of anything else.
Right.
and I'll just go to my favorite targets like Kim or Kim Kardashian. And I only make fun of when they write something stupid. I've never talked about somebody's looks, their weight, their, you know, like it's just right. when something dumb. And with his, you know, what he did, he's a horrible person. And he had showed no signs of remorse. Like he kept doing shit, you know, threw a chair through the window in Good Morning America when Robin Roberts interviewed him.
Yeah, well, they kept asking him about it, and apparently they had made some sort of an agreement where they weren't going to bring up the domestic violence. Like, I'm here to talk about my album.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, the whole thing is, it's like how he channeled his rage, you know, throwing a chair through a fucking window, really? Like, you couldn't. So I was bored.
A petulant child.
So I was bored, and he had tweeted something like, man, I look old as fuck, and I'm only 23. And so I retweeted it, and I was like, I know, being a worthless piece of shit can really age a person. I thought it was funny, and then all of a sudden, like, I look at my replies on my phone, and it was like, it would look like that, those waterfall of just, like, all of a sudden it was like 1,000, 2,000, I'm like, holy shit, whoops, like, what did I do? And then I realized he was coming back.
Oh.
Like, you know, telling me to suck his dick. I'm like, oh, your mother must be so, like, I played with him. It was a Sunday, I was bored, and, like, next thing I know is, like, he deleted his entire Twitter account. And I'm like,
wow.
That's not what I meant to do.
Didn't he say he wanted to shit in your mouth, too?
Shart in my eye.
Your eye? Shart?
My retina, to be.
How is he so specific?
I don't know. I think he was trying to sound smart.
What laser beam accuracy does he have with his sharting?
Yeah, retina is even in the back of the eye. It's not in the front. Like, he didn't even. I think he was just trying to sound smart. And I was just
on your retina.
I was just laughing away, and I, like, he said, like, ask Rihanna if she mad. I'm like,
ask Rihanna if she mad. Hmm.
So, like, I tweeted back, and then I linked his police report to that tweet.
Oh, that's
which
hilarious.
Which I thought was funny. And we went back and forth for a while, and then he deleted his account, and that's when it became a thing.
Did he put it back up? Is his account back?
Yeah, it was only, like, down for, like, a couple weeks or something like that.
Can you delete your account when you put it back? Do you get all your followers back, or do you have to start from scratch?
No, you have to start from scratch. But he has so the most insane, loyal group of idiots that follow him. Just misspelled death threats all day long is what I got. It was just misspelled death threats. And I was like, well, you know, whoops. But then the next day I was like, my manager, like, I love the call that I got. She's like, Jenny, what did you do? Because I have a lot of messages here. And I was like, yeah, no, my bad. I was like, just tell them all no. And she's like, okay. And she goes, are you sure you don't want? I've got good ones. The View, Larry King. I was like, no.
The View is a good one. How hilarious is that?
She was laughing. Like, she was totally not promoting this. And she's like, got some good ones I want you to be on. We got Larry King. We got The View. And I was like, no. I don't want to do any of it. Because I didn't want to. That's not was my intention. Right. It was just so happened that something that I thought he wasn't going to take and get pissed about like that ended up being something. And it wasn't how I wanted to make my self-known, you know, and I just, at that point, I already had, like, you know, over 300,000 followers. It wasn't like I didn't, I was just starting out, and I was trying to get fame or something off of it, but no.
You were
just
doing what you do.
I was doing what I do, and it went somewhere that I did not expect it to go.
It went in the glorious place.
Yeah, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that, and I think about it, like, I wonder if people would. Somebody said something one time. Did that bother you that was when you were really hot? Mm-hmm. I was like, no, that is not when I was hot. Maybe to you, to me, that was like the low. That was me like dipping. You know, no, it was not my finest hour. I was not proud of that moment at all. I don't regret it, but I don't. I'm certainly not going to go sit on a show and talk about how wonderful I am. It's like, no, I. Look at what I wrote. I called him like a fucking ignorant fuck. Like, no. Like, what do you think? I'm not Rosa Parks or something. You're like some hero. I was like, no, he's a piece of shit. And I was just, I like acknowledging that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I wish I knew what happened with them. I know he beat her. And I know you should never beat, you shouldn't beat anybody. You definitely shouldn't beat someone you love. You definitely shouldn't beat a girl if you're a guy.
Yeah.
But I want to know what she did. You know, she might have punched him in the face, too, and he punched her back or
well, I mean,
knows.
The whole police report is like, you know, which he actually acknowledged it all was she took his phone and there was another chick texting. And she was like, what the fuck, you know, but they're driving. And then he punched her in the mouth and then just kept punching her, like driving around. It was like a 30-minute torture session. Like
what?
Yeah.
Really?
Like he, you know, beat her head into like it's in and Miss whatever her actual last name is and her mouth filled with blood, a tooth chipped. So you know,
she didn't hit him at all?
No, she didn't hit him at all. She kept trying to get out of the car. But then they break up. Of course, he's got a restraining order. And then when that ended, she got back together with him.
Probably give some good dick.
I guess so. I guess so.
I don't know. Maybe she forgave him. Maybe she shouldn't have been fucking with his phone.
Maybe she should have kept her hands where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Not on his phone.
That ain't your phone.
That ain't your phone.
That ain't your phone.
Well, that was such a, it was such an, you know, when I started getting all of, I'm like, oh my God, my mom is going to like read the shit that I write. Like I was more just going, oh Jesus.
See, imagine if you, that was your daughter. That guy was hitting your daughter.
And then just, oh, I'm getting back together with him.
Yeah.
Oh, I just.
Who knows?
Garbage, man.
Who knows what the fuck they're really like or what she's really like? She's obviously a little crazy, too.
Yeah, I mean, she'd have to be like a little.
Yeah. But I think people that are that talented are just fucking crazy anyway.
Who's talented?
Her. She's very talented. Her voice is incredible.
Sing. Yeah, but a lot of people can sing.
You don't think she's talented?
Well, it's just because I think she's dumb for getting back together with them. You know, like I have a hard time getting past that. But I don't even listen to new music anyway. I'm like such an old person driving around listening to Lithium.
I'm serious. That's what you listen to? What do you listen to? Like, what's your kind of music?
I'm not kidding you. That's probably it. I listen to that 80s, 90s.
Do you?
First wave.
You're a Nirvana fan? You're a Nirvana fan?
I like Nirvana, right?
Did you see Soaked in Bleach?
I did. I didn't really care for it.
What did you think about it?
I didn't like it.
The movie? The documentary that thinks that Courtney Love had a part in Kurt Cobain's death?
I've seen... How many documentaries are there about him?
There's a few.
There's a lot.
There's the...
There's some real shitty ones that didn't
HBO one, right?
Yeah.
Montage of Heck that I didn't see.
But the reenactment crap.
That was terrible.
That's... Yeah. I was out. I couldn't finish it, actually, because I'm like, I can't watch bad acting. Like, I thought it was a documentary.
Right.
And if I'm watching actors pretend to be... And it's somebody else's version of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt... Yeah, I was like, no.
Yeah,
have it.
I agree with you in that sense. But I don't think they had rights to anything else. I think she owns the rights to Kurt, you know? So, like, I don't think they could do anything else. If they wanted to show that movie and depict those stories and
Wouldn't you just not do it?
Well, I think...
Then they just write a book?
The problem is, people won't read books. And another problem is... If you want people to pay attention, you would have to listen to her actual voice saying a bunch of crazy shit, which is in that documentary.
Yeah.
When you hear her actual voice lying about like having a drug overdose and making these publicity stunts and lying to him about where she found the suicide note, where, you know, when she said she found it under the bed or under the pillows, and he's like, well, here's the problem with that. I checked under the pillows. We checked under all the pillows. We checked under everything. We scoured that room. And she's like, you know, I swear, it was there. Like, what? Like, when you hear that, and then when you see the actual physical evidence of her copying Kurt Cobain's handwriting, and then you see the difference between the suicide note, which is mostly 7/8 of the suicide note is him talking about non-related stuff, and then the last tiny portion of it is the suicide note, which is clearly in a different handwriting.
Uh-huh.
Bigger letters, and like, whoa, did she fucking write this? Like... Still doesn't mean that she killed him.
Right.
It could mean that crazy bitch wrote a suicide note for him to make herself look awesome that he loved her.
Yeah.
She's fucking crazy.
Sure.
She's fucking crazy.
I know, but I don't think there's anybody that believes that she's not crazy.
Exactly.
I would be, I don't think there's a person that would go, no.
Right.
She's totally sane.
So she could be out of her mind. She could be a liar. She could be all those things and still not be guilty of murder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing in that documentary that shows that she killed him. There's nothing.
It's just that.
Well, it just shows she's nuts, which everybody already knew.
Yeah, that's why I didn't like it. Everyone made a big deal about it, and I just was like, the reenacting really took me completely out of the picture. But I've seen so many things. Like, everyone knows she's batshit. It wouldn't surprise me at all if she did that. But
yeah. Well, the sheriff
work. I don't think
she
killed him, though.
The police work is so piss poor. That was one of the most disturbing things about it. When you find out, like, it talked, you know, also, was it like 94 when he died or something like that? Was it like 90
was
something?
Was it 94? I think so.
So we're talking pre-internet. So the accountability was minimal. Small town, you know, a small area. And then it was the Seattle Police Department. The sheriff was a fucking idiot. Fucked up a bunch of other cases. Eventually he was kicked out.
Right.
Like, there was all sorts of bad police work going on top of that. The difference between the first responders' accounts of the murder scene versus his response. The difference between the image of the... You all right?
Yeah.
Fucking coughing. Allergies.
No, that was just swallowing water.
Wrong. The first responder said you could clearly tell who it is, and then, you know, their version of it, that his face was blown off. Mm. Like, well, those are, you got two different versions. The fact that they cremated him 6 days later, the fact that they called it a suicide instantly before the autopsy was performed, that you're supposed to leave that to a forensic scientist to go over the evidence. And they just is a clusterfuck. But in that clusterfuck,
but don't
are
you believe that he
conclusions.
Killed himself?
I don't believe anything. I don't know.
Oh.
I do not know. The other thing is I don't know. I don't understand heroin. So when they say that he had three times the lethal dose of heroin in his system and that he wouldn't have been able to pull the trigger, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if maybe he had an insane tolerance because he did a lot of heroin.
He could have.
Yeah. Like that's... maybe it'd be three times for you and I, but not three times for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But it was creepy. It's a creepy documentary.
I mean, that whole story, that whole scene was creepy as shit. Yeah. I mean, even like when, what's his face, Scott Weiland, you read that he passed away.
Yeah.
It's so terrible, but I felt like every single person was like, well, that was going to happen.
Scott Weiland, I met him. He did Dana White's birthday party. Dana White was president of the UFC. Uh-huh. He performed, Stone Temple Pilots performed at his birthday party. And
cool.
First of all, let me just say, they were fucking amazing.
I've seen them like three times, and every time they were awesome.
They performed in a ballroom for, I mean, maybe there was like 200 people there, and the people that were paying attention when they went on stage, it was like maybe 40. Like, we had to get people up towards the stage to pay attention. That motherfucker rocked out like he was in front of 25,000 sold-out rabid fans. I mean,
he
hit it hard. I remember being humbled. I remember seeing that and going, wow, like that guy. It made me want to do stand-up better.
Yeah.
It made me like, man, I want to go right. I want to work on my performing because that guy fucking nailed
it. Just gave everything, yeah.
But backstage, he was a nightmare.
He was a disaster.
Because my friends that had to deal with him, the friends that worked for the UFC that had to like he demanded to go on like right now or he's getting out of there. He's going to fucking leave. I want my fucking money. I want to go on right now. Like, he was just cracked out of his mind or heroin out or whatever the fuck he was doing. He was like barely there all the time and always on edge. And, you know, you could blame it on his creative juices inside of him. It made him such a genius performer, which is undeniable that he was a genius.
Yeah,
like performance-wise.
I mean, he put on a show. Like every time I ever saw him, that band play, he was amazing. But
yeah, but did you read what the mother of his children said about him?
Mm-hmm.
Like that Rolling Stone thing.
Because
like,
every
was
time
so
I would
telling.
See him, so fucked up, and then you would go to be married to that.
Mm-hmm. And you have children with that guy.
Yeah. Like,
and then he had new children with a new wife and then just sort of didn't talk to the old. And of course, obviously, that's her story.
Sure.
Who knows how crazy she is? Who knows what the reality of...
Right.
I mean, you could die and your ex-boyfriend could write a fucking crazy book about you and you'd be like, you know, all fiction.
Yeah.
We don't know, but this is sad. That's a fucking crazy drug, that heroin. Woo!
I would never in a million years touch that.
What if it made you like so good? What if you got a little bit of heroin
in
you?
I
couldn't
do it.
Microdose?
I'd be too afraid.
Microdose?
I would be the one that would die, like, the first
You'd
time trying.
One?
I would die the first time trying it. I'm like, no, I got a lot to live for. I don't...
They find out that it's a adverse reaction of Claritin.
Claritin D. Oh, you took the Claritin D, the 24-hour? Yeah, no, you're going to fucking die.
You fucked up. Yeah. You fucked up, girl. It seems to have an awesome effect on musicians, though.
Well, until they
die. Yeah.
Yeah, but up until
age 27. After that, it seems to drop off radically. This is like all the age 27 people,
it's
right?
It's always 27.
Janis Joplin, Morrison, Hendrix.
Amy Winehouse.
Winehouse.
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. It's all 27.
So bizarre. 27 is the age that everybody just...
It's Illuminati. It's like that five thing. It is.
Is that what it is?
HI5.
HI to HIV. That's actually what I have. That's why I'm sniffing at HIV.
It's the AIDS coming out of your nose.
It's my AIDSies. I got a touch of AIDS. Yeah. AIDS is acting up.
Yeah, it's but my like, head. Is there a drug that has a more unique relationship to music than heroin?
I don't think so.
The only comedian that I knew that was a heroin guy was Hedberg. And Mitch Hedberg had like a sort of almost like a jazzy sort of sense of humor, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a weird.
And even his voice, like the way he spoke and everything, was like he was like a cool cat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He would do his act sometimes with his back to the crowd. He would turn and do it and kill. He was killing. He wasn't even looking at everybody.
Well, there's something about that confidence, too, to do something that's that just fucking outrageous. Turn your back to the crowd, but not give a shit. You're not nervous. Like, they would sniff you out if you were, like...
Yeah, if you're scared.
But it's like he had such control over everybody that he just could do it and everybody would laugh.
Well, he was a unique guy in that for a long time, he had a real problem following certain acts. Like, when they would... Like, say if you get booked in, like, the Funny Bone in Columbus, right? If you get booked there, unless you're a big draw to the point where you say, hey, I'm bringing my opening acts with me, they would book local people.
Sure.
And so they would have some guy, like I know a story where he went to this club. They had a local guy before him is fucking literally doing handstands. He's singing and dancing. He has music he plays. He does a rap to close. He closes with a rap. The audience goes crazy. And then Hedberg goes up there with sunglasses on, stands in front of the microphone, you know, and says, somebody asked me if I want a banana, frozen banana. I said, no, but I want a regular banana later. So, yes. That's funny, but not after some dude's doing flips and standing on his head and shooting rockets out of his dick. You know, like the guy.
He shot rockets out of his dick? Maybe it's amazing.
I might be exaggerating. But, you know, there's like, so he would bomb. He would have like these horrible sets.
Right.
Until he found his audience. And then when people knew what to expect, like from Letterman appearances and what have you, then they knew what to expect. They would go to see him. And then finally they started like doing the opening acts correctly. Yeah. And that guy had a really hard time though because of that.
Well, it was so specific, like the kind of comedy. Yeah. Like you could probably go anywhere and you could check the crowd out and go, like you could figure, you know in your head when something's working, what they like and what they don't like.
Well, it's, you know, even depends. If someone's there to see Gilbert Melendez, no, not Gilbert Melendez, he's a fighter. Gilbert,
that'd be cool.
What's his name?
Godfrey?
No. God damn it. Who the fuck am I thinking of? Fluffy.
Oh.
Gabriel Iglesias. Jesus Christ, Gilbert. Gilbert. like Gabriel Iglesias is like super family friendly, very squeaky clean, very funny, but very like fluffy, laughy. Mm-hmm. If I went on and told some dark shit after that or some, you know, it's not my crowd. It's the wrong crowd for me,
right.
You know, or a group of old people that went to see, you know, whatever, fill in the blank with like a really Carrot Top, some squeaky clean.
Yeah, somebody has a standing gig that's just.
You could get the wrong crowd for sure. You know, there's some crowds that just don't work for you, for your style of humor.
But, like, if you were going on a show and it's, like, you, Anthony Jeselnik, and Bill Burr, like, it wouldn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, it's all kind of the same.
We've done that 20, 30 times at the Comedy Store. That's
totally
normal.
I think I've actually seen that show. It's probably in my head.
Well, the Store, you'll have, but that, you know, someone might go on and, well, they're really good at the Store, like, setting the lineup in a really sort of homogenous way.
I did a horrible show there. I rarely do the... Some girl, I guess, was trying to put together a show, and it was like
Bringer show.
I don't know what it was called.
Yeah, they'll do like
I did it once,
nights
and I
in the
was
main
like,
room. Is it a weeknight in the main room?
Yeah, it was like Monday night in the main room with a show that's never first time.
Ooh,
I'm in main room, eight people. You know, it was just bad. It was just absolutely bad. Everything I said bombed, like nothing. And I was just going like, how many more minutes do is a red light? Could you flick that at me? I mean, it was bad, but I didn't like. This is not my crowd. Like
they had a show there the other day, and I got there. Excuse me. I got there, and
Clareton.
The waitresses are like, "Dude, go to the fucking main room. See this fucking show in the main room." I go, "What's going on?" They go, "A cult rented out the main room." And I go, "What? Are you serious?" So I went in there, and when I went in there, the show was just ending. The comedy show was just ending. So some comedian was on stage. I don't know who the comedian was. And it just wasn't going so well. It was going okay, but it was just very, very strange. And then after the show, they all huddled up around Mother, this woman that they called Mother,
who was the head of the cult. And there's like 50 people around her. They're all dressed to the nines, suits and ties, like the nicest dresses. Like everybody's like dressed up like they're going to an award show, right? And Mother sat around with her back to the stage where they're all facing her, like as if she was on stage. I mean, she might as well have been on stage. And she was talking, like, you know, like really, like self-help nonsense,
right,
sort of fucking cookie cutter Scientology style talking.
Yeah.
About, you know, our intention, what we put out into the world is what the world gives us back. If you love yourself, the world loves you, like that kind of shit. And they were all like cheering along with her and clapping with her. It was so fucking strange. It was so strange.
But they rented the room. Like, how did they even rent them?
I don't understand what happened. I don't know what happened because I got there late. You know, I got there like as it was ending. The last comic was on stage, but Al Madrigal had been on earlier, and he was just fucking eating dick up there. And I don't. And he apparently goes, "What the fuck kind of crowd is this?" Like he was saying it while he was up there because he realized he looked out and he sees all these people with suits and ties and dresses and. They're all fucking super lost. I mean, like really lost, strange people.
Well,
I'll never forget her sitting there and them gathered around her, talking to her, listening to her every, hanging on every word she says, which
like
is all
a bird feeding its babies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, spitting. Yeah. Back.
It's all just
they're
like
all just waiting for it.
Hallmark card shit. It was fucking strange.
Up.
Really strange.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Well, that whole self-help thing, you know, if you're so inclined, you can piece together, especially today. Like, we're not talking about like Anthony Robbins days of 1988 where nobody
right.
else was doing it. You had to actually have some really concise thoughts about how to improve yourself.
At this point, they're repeating other people.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's come up with something brand spanking new.
Exactly.
That, yeah.
But all you have to do is sort of mine the internet for these things, repackage them, reshape them, and put on a seminar and have all these people together. And there's people that are doing that right now.
You have
now.
To have that voice and that just that weird, that odd look.
Yeah.
I watched that documentary, The Source Family. Did you ever see that one?
No, I haven't.
You
but
gotta see it. It's pretty
Whitney
good.
Cummings was telling me I have to see it.
It's good. Yeah. Because I don't think anybody really heard of it because that guy didn't like do a mass Jones test. You know, like
right.
he... fucking got on a hang glider in Hawaii and said, Jesus wants me to fly out in this hang. Yeah, he didn't make it.
Well, maybe that's how Jesus wanted him to come to him.
So I was like, oh, he didn't kill his people. He just was like, nope, I'm getting vibes that I need to go on this hang glider on this cliff. And
that's a fucked up way to go, hang glider.
Oh, my God. But actually, he survived and then died like a few, you know, 1 or 2 days later or something like that. But, oh.
Less exciting.
But
if
it was
he just went
up.
Right to the light.
Yeah. I'm sure maybe that's what he was hoping for, but...
Hang gliding seems like a fucking great time, but I'm not trying it.
Yeah, no. I need No, I couldn't do that.
Well, you have to depend on the wind.
Yeah, I don't like depending on things like that.
I'm not into depending on wind. It seems like it does whatever the fuck it wants. Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Doesn't want to listen. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like...
I tell it, no!
That would be like floating in the water on a boat... You know, sailing around on a boat, and then all of a sudden the boat decides it doesn't want to be buoyant. And that's kind of what
you're
dealing
like,
with,
come
right?
On, boat.
You're floating in the air, depending upon these drafts of winds. Whoops. Whoa. See that? Look at that. Fucking reflexes.
Claritin.
See that shit?
Yeah.
Like a cat. Wow. But if, I mean, I think that can happen, right? The wind just dies off and you just fall to the ground.
Sure. It happens a bunch. I grew up on the coast. I mean, shit. I wouldn't go fucking hang gliding. Hell no. But that
like
guy did
be
because
awesome,
he had a sign. Told him, getting a sign that I need to hang glide.
Well, nothing's more nutty than those wingsuit dudes. I had this dude, Andy Stump, in here who has the world record for wingsuit travel.
That shit's insane. What was it? I just watched something on it, and this guy, I mean, they're nuts. And they'll break like every fucking bone. I gotta get back out there. I gotta get back out.
Yeah, one guy, he hit like his foot on the edge of a rock and then just, he's going, you know, who knows how fucking
that's
fast.
That's the one I did see that
broke
one.
Everything, yeah.
Broke all of his shit, he lived.
Got right back on it. That's how awesome wingsuit flying is. Break everything.
You have to be fucked up, though. Like, you have to have something's, you're wired differently.
Mm.
Because that's not.
We have to be wired differently to try it in the first place, right?
Yeah. I mean, who would go... Yeah, like a flying squirrel suit, you know.
Fuck,
this should work out.
Dude, it must be so fun, though.
I imagine it is fun, but Boy, I mean,
have you ever done a hoverboard? You know those little rollerboard things, those little like a Segway, but it doesn't have a handle. You know those things that you see the kids do?
Have
you,
yeah, they have look, you ridden one of those? Cool. Yeah, I have.
They're fun, right?
They are fun, but those kids, it's just like, do teenagers need to be on wheels like that? I mean, they're just...
My little kids have them.
I know, but you know when you see like those lazy fucking kids in the mall right. just walking, and then now they're just... It's so...
Well, don't you feel that's one of those things where the technology comes along before they have rules?
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when people used to be able to smoke those e-cigarettes on planes?
Yeah.
They'd just be puffing on those blue sure. e-cigarettes like... Who's that fucking goofy guy that was doing those
Steven
actors?
Dorff.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
when I saw one of those ads.
Yeah,
I see him fucking hawking these things. And I was like,
your freedom, guys.
I'm like, dude, I haven't seen you in a movie in 1999. Like, this is what you're doing? Like, what?
Well, he had to.
But I love that he was still like, yeah, it's me, Steven Dorff.
Take back your freedom, guys. Come on, guys. Take back your freedom. There it is. Look. Come on, guys. Yeah. There's just something so non-rebel about sucking on a little robot
look
dick.
Look at him up there, just...
Yeah.
It looks like they're sucking on a home pregnancy test.
By the
test
way,
or
those
something.
Things are great before you go on stage. They look like tobacco, or nicotine, rather, is a stimulant. And it is actually a good stimulant to take before you go on stage.
Really?
Yeah. Fires up your brain. Joey Diaz told me about it. So it gets me fired up right before I go
I've
on stage.
I've seen the other vape pens that have like the...
Yeah. Oh, those big giant fucking, like, you're holding onto a lunchbox.
No, the ones that have, like, the marijuana oils in them.
Oh, I have those right here. You want to try those?
What kind do you have?
I have all of them. You name it.
I have, do you have the G-Pen?
I got one of those.
I have a friend that does.
A friend?
A friend of mine that does.
Marketing?
Yeah.
He
helps endorse them.
We have, like, a fucking stack of them back there, right? Those G-Pens.
My friend Bun B from UGK.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
The best ones are the ones that have the oil.
That's like, the one I
yeah,
have.
Yeah, that you screw the top on.
That's what I have.
You plug them in the USB plug. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
I'll call my doctor, who's my friend who has them.
Yeah, I got my prescription from a doctor as well.
No, I don't even have one, but my friend has one. So I was like, hey, if you're up and you're going to go get me some.
Well, since this is broadcast nationally, you do have one, right? You do have a prescription. You're not taking marijuana illegally, right?
I'm totally teasing with you. I don't even have one.
You don't even have to have one?
No, I don't even have a vape pen. I was just teasing.
Oh, you're kidding. This is fiction.
It was a joke. It was one of my friends has it.
Do you fuck with the edibles?
I was trying to sound cool.
Mm. You know? One of the cool kids?
Yeah, I was trying to be one of the cool kids.
Do you mess with edibles? She's nodding.
I have. In my previous life.
Have you had any bad experiences?
Yeah.
Everybody has.
Everybody's had, because you don't know how much.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't edibles. It was, you know, it was always the brownies that everybody mm-hmm. started with. And I was in college. And I remember, like, it was a costume party. It was around Halloween. So everyone's at the bar in costume. And I couldn't find my sister and roommate because my sister and I went to the same college. I was walking in circles because they were dressed like other people. And I was like...
What a fucking nightmare scenario. Oh,
and then finally they came up to me. They're like, you walk past us like 30 times and you look all freaked out. And I was like, and it doesn't help. I have big eyes too. So I'm like, just so fucking panicky and jumpy. Oh God, it scared the shit. I just went back to my apartment late. I was like, just make it stop. Make it stop.
Yeah, I was
not
a
fan
judge.
Of those. Yeah.
I was a judge of the cannabis cup once.
I don't even know what that is.
The cannabis cop is this thing where they judge weed and they decide, like, what's the best.
Is it like one of those beer?
It's way worse. Here's the thing. You don't have any idea which one is hitting you better or not. You don't know. Like, this is what – you know how, like old people have, like, those Monday through Sunday
pill
things?
Yeah, yeah.
And each one, you know, you pop them open right. and you take it. It was that. They would give you one of those. I had it, like, with a dried weed in it for, like, the longest. Just sitting, I'm like, I'm going to save this. And I put it away. This is a nostalgia for the highest I've ever been in my life.
Right.
So I get there. They give everybody that's a judge. They ask me to be a judge. They give everybody who's a judge one of these little boxes with all these different strains in it. And each one has a name and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And all the names are fun,
you're supposed
too,
to start smoking it. Yeah. So you start smoking, but you don't know what's getting you high and what's not. You're high as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we went into this place that they did it. It was this place on Melrose. It was like a head shop. And in the back of the head shop, they had this big, giant room where all these people were in. And I remember just being just completely blitzed out of my mind by the time I got to Tuesday, you know? I'm supposed to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right. Saturday, and Sunday. I am fucked up, man. And people are handing me cookies, and I'm just eating them. They're handing me candies. I'm just eating them. People are handing me bags, like those volcano bags. I'm fucking sucking on a volcano bag. I just went as deep as I've ever gone in my life.
How many days before you came to?
I was legitimately high for 24 hours. Like, I'm not. Wow. Like, legitimately.
Could you do anything? Just sitting?
I laid down after it was over. I remember thinking, I can't even form sentences. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know. This is how high I got. I got so high that people stopped looking like people to me. And what they started being is like two-dimensional, like a cardboard cutout, like a movie promo cutout of a person, and then behind that person was like their soul. It was like peeking around the corner, like looking at you, like they were walking towards you with this like cardboard cutout.
Totally normal.
And behind them,
sure.
That's like the impression that I got from looking at them. There was like a two-dimensional outside, and then I could occasionally see glimpses of their real self, like peeking around the corner, looking at me, and then hiding
behind
their persona.
Were you just afraid the whole time?
I was terrified. Yeah, I was untethered, untethered from reality, from life. I was gone, and I remember having this weird conversation with. Here's the thing about these marijuana people, especially marijuana. This is we're talking like, I think I was a judge in 2003 or something like that, 2002 or 3.
Still in your system from then.
Probably,
yeah.
Probably still test positive.
You're right.
But the people that were like into it. That really like involved in the quote unquote cannabis community. It was a small sort of tight knit group that were producing it, selling it, and growing it, and they would gather together. So they would use these things as an excuse to kind of get together with everybody. And I got in this conversation with this guy who was banking on the cannabis community taking care of him when he was old, and that's what he was like concentrating on. Like I was so high, I just had to listen. I couldn't even talk. I was like, and he was saying, well, the amazing thing is the cannabis community, like, they're going to have me. They're going to take care of me. The cannabis community would be there for you. So, right?
It's like
right.
He has a 401k with them or something. Right.
Well, you know, he thought the cannabis community was like the small, tight-knit thing, and now it's a swarm of humanity.
You're right.
Like, there is no cannabis community, homie. It's called life.
Yeah, it's you're people.
Like, yeah, it's just humans.
Right.
But to him, it was like, you know, like, local growers or whatever it was, like this local organic community of
poor guy.
It was such a strange conversation. Like, that was his angle. It was almost like he was like really into pot because it had given him an identity within this community. So he was expressing that to me in this very strange way, and I was trying to like wrap my head around like what he thought was going to happen. You know, but he kept saying that, you know, the cannabis community is always going to take care of me. The cannabis community. I'm like, guess what, dude? The cannabis community is just fucking people. Like,
right.
People are just going to take care of
you're
you.
Just like, another stoner, dude. Yeah. Like, hello.
Hello.
One of my roommates in college one time just ate a shit ton of pot brownies, and she wanted to go to Wendy's for food, of course. And she's like, what are you taking me to Wendy's? Need some food. I was like, sure. In my car, she's and as soon as I go through the drive-thru, and you're, welcome to Wendy's, can I take your order? She goes, drive. Just get out of here. Just go. Go. Get out of here. Like, that's when it really hit her, that panicky part, and that person saying, welcome to Wendy's. She lost her shit. I thought, if I don't drive, she's going to jump out of my car. Like, she was really, like, freaked out.
Oh,
I was like,
that's
God.
So funny.
Just go. Just go. Just drive. Oh, my God. Just drive. It's like, yeah, no, that's not good.
Yeah, pot, eating pot can really fuck with you in a way that nothing else can.
Yeah, it's and it won't go away. There's nothing you can take or do. You have to wait it out.
Well, one thing that helps a little bit is coffee. Coffee does help a little bit.
But, I mean, if you're so whacked out, you're just like, yeah. I just want to sit in a chair and ride this out.
Do you know the difference? Well, I've talked about this so many times before, people are going to get annoyed, but do you know what happens when you eat it? That there's a different like biological process as opposed to smoking it? When you smoke it, your body's reacting to THC, which is the active compound when you smoke it. But when you eat it, it's processed by your liver and it produces something called 11-hydroxymetabolite that's 5 times more psychoactive than THC. It's insanely powerful, and it's a much more psychedelic drug. Like, you'll have hallucinations and visual, especially if you close your eyes, You can have some really, really intense visualizations.
That freaks me out too much. The moment I close my eyes, I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Stop.
Well, I was on both when I was at the Cannabis Cup. That was what was so fucked up because I had been high from smoking it.
I don't know.
High from eating
up
it.
That's horrible.
Throwing it up is great if it's alcohol.
Yeah.
If you throw up and you drink alcohol, it gets out of your system and it helps you sober up quicker. But not with
pot. We all do it stupid. We don't know what we can take when we're in college. And I would drink until I was hammered. And then I would, I'll smoke that. And then I always would puke. That would be the only time I would ever puke was when I did that. And I'm like, I need to learn.
Well, it's also because when you smoke, you become hyper aware and your body is aware of the poison inside you in the form of alcohol. And your body's like, what did you do? I took a pot. This guy made THC pills. It was this friend of mine. They were like, he figured out how to make pills. And I don't know how he did it, but he made them in these capsules. And you have to, it has to be, there's something, it has to be fat soluble. Like when you cook it, like a lot of times when they cook it, they use butter and they melt the marijuana into the butter to make it fat soluble, to make your body. I don't know, understand the process, but he figured out how to do it and put it into capsule forms. So he told us, he was like, how much should I take? And he goes, just take one pill, because there were little packages of two pills that he gave us.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, just take one. And my friend Eddie Bravo was like, fuck that guy, I'm taking two. So he took two. I listened. I took one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fucking blitzkrieged. And I wound up talking to this guy. And it was at a jiu-jitsu tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was one of the competitors. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this guy's... his vibe is so crazy. Like, he's giving me, like, when you're really high, I mean, like, maybe it's just because I'm that high.
Yeah.
But he has this, like, insanely dangerous vibe about him. Turns out he was a rapist. Turned into a rapist and was on the run and went on the run. And
so he went to a jiu-jitsu tournament?
No.
He was the jiu-jitsu rapist?
He had done some other shit, too. One of the things he had done, he had choked a guy to death and then they revived him. He got in a street fight on a traffic incident.
Was it one of those Mayhem or whatever those crazies?
No. I forget his name.
Or what was
it?
War Machine.
But that guy was another one. He was on my podcast, actually, a couple months before he did that with the girl that he beat the fuck out of. She was here.
Oh, God, that's the worst sounding story I think I've ever... I saw the whole thing on Real Sports. They did a deal on Real Sports on HBO.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, that was terrible. That whole thing was a combination of everything.
Yeah.
All the abuse that he suffered in his life, steroids, his fucking the brain damage that he unquestionably has.
Yeah.
So many of them have brain damage. There's so many fighters.
They have that same shit, the football players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they snap. Chronic encephalopathy.
Yeah.
Well, CTE. It's just any form of head trauma over repeated periods of time is going to cause issues.
But they keep talking about football players, and like, you can't tell me that like NASCAR drivers don't have that shit. They wreck and have concussions all the time.
I don't think they wreck that much, though.
Concussions, but it just takes a little. Like once you've had one concussion, easier to get another. And a lot of those drivers have had multiple concussions.
That's interesting. I never really thought about that. I would think about different people,
hockey.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
There's certainly, but it always seems to go to just football. But you're like, no, there's. I mean, I know plenty. I like car racing, but like a lot of the open wheel, you know, even if they have just a. Barely a wreck, but it's still their head. You know, they have all the head and neck restraints on, but you hit the side of a wall.
Your brain's squashing around.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It's
and,
not
you've,
tethered
and you've
down.
Already had three concussions maybe in the past. So,
with all the connective tissue that holds your brain inside your skull, that stuff tears. And when it tears, it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't,
resilient. It's like it's done. It's torn. Yeah. That's it.
I didn't know like what that stuff was like. Like, what is a connective tissue like? Until I butchered a moose once, and this guy right here. Mm-hmm. And when we're lifting up the leg and cutting the connective tissue, it's like almost like this like candy what's that stuff called? Cotton candy fiberish looking stuff that it's like it's so soft. It just cuts right through. It's like, I'm like, this is like similar to the stuff that holds your brain in your head, and you can imagine over. Repeated traumatic impacts like over and over again that stuff would just start tearing and breaking loose and then once it's torn like you're fucked like your head's just rattling around Yeah.
Scary.
Well, I have a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who's an expert in traumatic brain injuries. He's a doctor. And he treats a lot of soldiers, football players, the like. And he said that you can get a concussion, a severe concussion, from getting hit in the chest. Like a lot of football players, they didn't get head impact. They get hit in the chest. But the getting hit in the chest snaps your head back. And your brain rattles around inside your head, and it gives you a massive concussion. And they, the ignorant people that didn't know any better, you know, ignorant as far as they didn't have the information, they would say, "Oh, he didn't even get hit in the head; he's fine."
Yeah.
But no, like that, just getting hit in the chest. Like if someone kicks you in the chest, you can get a concussion.
Yeah. I hope nobody ever kicks me in the chest, though.
I hope nobody kicks you in the chest too.
That would suck. I would not be a fan of that.
Definitely suck.
That would suck.
But if they did, like you could, your brain gets fucked up.
Have you ever had a concussion?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
You're sure, but you don't know like for a fact that you had.
I used to kickbox, so.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, did you ever have where you were at the hospital and they said you have a concussion?
No. But I definitely had headaches and get punched in the head a bunch of times. I've been hit in the head a gang of times. So there's definitely. And here's the thing about concussions and traumatic brain injury. Like, people think that it's just a concussion. Like, you are concussed and, you know, define concussion. You know, oh, your pupils are dilated. Right. You got hit in the head. No, you like, small impacts, repeated subconcussive impacts sometimes have the most devastating effect. Like, soccer players oftentimes develop the same sort of symptoms from heading a ball. Just a ball. Just bouncing a ball off your head. No concussion.
I would have. I've never had a concussion, but I assume that I've done damage from surfing or wakeboarding.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
Wiping
of wipe,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, a lot definitely. Of wipeouts. Like, you know, you would, you know, it'd take you a minute. Like, you really wipe out and you're just like laying there like, you take a deep breath like, okay, I'm going to sit the next few.
Well, this guy, Dr. Mark Gordon, was saying that you can get it from wakeboarding or, jet skiing.
Yeah.
Just hitting weights.
Because it's jarring.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really, like, when you hit, if you're, you know, every time I'd be out on the boat or something, you go into a wave and that kind of like
boom.
Yeah, it's you do it enough. Fuck, you get off the boat and you're just like kind of
loopy.
You can feel a little rattled. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that shit's bad for you.
No, not good.
Not good.
Not good.
I would imagine ski jumping. Boom, like that.
Oh yeah, like all those fucking downhill skiers, like the ones in the Olympics and shit.
Oh yeah,
fuck, they wipe the fuck out.
Oh, they fucking wipe out.
Those the snowboarder dudes do.
Oh, they wipe out hard.
Shit.
My friend got knocked out recently, fucking snowboarding. He
did ever see
something,
that documentary?
Woke up on his back.
Oh like, really?
Has no idea what the fuck he did. Just woke up.
Jeez.
He was fucked up for a while. And this is like his second or third time going out like that, too. Like falling snowboard. He loves snowboarding, though.
But Jesus, like at some point, I go, like, I like walking and breathing and being a living
like
on my own.
Remembering where I live.
Right. Not having somebody, like, you know, take me to the bathroom. Being like,
well, for football players, you've seen those. If you've seen the Real Sports episode NFL players from the 70s and 80s that are just jacked.
Well, the one I saw that was a PBS Frontline that was about those, the concussions and everything. And it was, I mean, the guys just, they're not the same person. They're just fucked. I mean, they've just done a number on their bodies and you don't bounce back after so many.
No. Well, I'm just hoping that one day they're going to figure out how to inject stem cells into your brain or something like that to reinvigorate it. But
yeah, I mean,
as of right now, they really can't do much.
Are you a football fan?
Not really, no.
But like growing up, okay, so, you know, you think about, you'd see a big hit. It would make this, you know, wide world of sports real or some shit like that. And you're like, oh, you want to watch it again. It's just insane. And everyone's like, yeah, and they're fucking. And now I see it and I'm like, yeah, that guy that just shaved about 10 years off of his, you know, like, and he's probably lost however many, you know, lost whatever function of his brain that they say is like your emotions and your decision making. And that's why a lot of those guys will like shoot their girlfriend, kill themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. Are we going to show one, Jamie?
Oh. And then you could always tell.
Oh, my God. Is this recent, Jamie?
Yeah, this was 2 weeks ago.
You can tell the knockout when the hands stay up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Believe me, I know. I've probably seen more people get knocked unconscious in real life than I would really, without any reservation, say that I've seen more people get knocked out than 0.111% of the population. I'm like in the smallest group of people. Like, there's maybe 100 or 200 people on the planet that have seen more people get knocked out than me. Maybe.
I've seen people get knocked out, not to that extent, but because of my sports producer. I used to have to actually go to all the games, so I'd be on the sideline, you know, like, so I saw it, you know, like, right there up close, and it is, I mean, you just see it coming. You can see the guy coming. You can see his head turned the other way, has no idea what's, you know, and then the moment he just lays down those arms, just...
Oh, yeah.
They just stay up, and you're like, fuck.
Well, because of doing commentary for the UFC, I mean, literally, I've seen more knockouts than, way more than 99% of the population. It's probably like 99.9999. There might be 20 people on Earth that have seen more people get knocked out than me. It might really be that low.
Yeah, because how long have you been doing that?
I started doing the commentary from 97, and I started it again. I did it from 97 to 98, and then I quit, and then came back in 2002 with the new company, and I've been doing it for the last 14 years.
But, yeah, you've seen a lot of them.
But I also was fighting from the time I was 15. Mm-hmm. So it was 15 to 22 was all kickboxing and martial arts. So I saw a lot of people get knocked out in person there. Oh. And then I saw just fucking I've called like, I don't know, man. It's way more than 1,000 fights. It's probably close to 2,000 fights. So I've probably seen 500 or 600 people just get shut off. Just blam. That's over so the course of my life. Just bong, clang, stiff arms, legs twitching, toes curled. I've seen that way more than 100 times, 200, 300 times. Yeah, it's madness when you really stop and think about
it. Yeah. I mean, it's weird that, like, going from something I would watch and be like, you know, watch it again, to, like, now I'm just going, jeez, you know.
Me too. Yeah.
Sad. We're getting old. We're not fun anymore.
Well, it's just becoming more and more aware. And plus, like this new Will Smith movie, Concussion's coming out, where people are starting to...
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. Is it out already?
Yeah, it came out over Christmas, I think. But
I heard it's great.
It didn't do, I don't think, what...
It should have?
Yeah, I read something that there was, like, this long thing of discrepancies. Like, they chose to leave out... Cause it's supposed to be a true story, you know, and they omitted very important facts.
Because
of the NFL, of how they treated, you know, like there were certain things that I don't know who got behind what and like who kind of maybe strong-armed them into like doing what. Leave that part out. But put that part in.
Or maybe try to avoid lawsuits too.
Something like that. But I mean, I used to think when I would hear people like, I mean, I grew up in Texas too. So, you know, football was such a big thing, and how there would be people that would say like, I'm not letting my son play football, and you're like, bah, pussy, you know, like, I get it now, like, I don't have kids, but I get it, like, you see the results and these people are just fucked.
I get it.
If
my kids wanted to fight, I would be very conservative about it. I'd have to really try to get it into their head to understand defense before anything. Like, really, you have to. That's like the most important thing to practice is learning how to avoid being hit and how to.
Yeah, I mean, I took karate as a kid and everything, but you know, my dad was like, "You never start a fight." He's like, "But if somebody ever tried to hurt you, he's like, Jenny, I just punch them right in the nose and keep doing it until like, but defend yourself. Don't you know? Don't." Dance around him and talk shit, you know, just, and I was like, okay.
Well, avoiding fights is always a smart move.
I don't want to get in a fight, though. Don't hit me. I'd be so upset if I hit me in the face. Why'd you do that for?
Well, just if you didn't avoid it and you got hurt, like badly hurt, and something you could have avoided, you'd feel so stupid. It would haunt you forever.
Yeah, that you're the one that started it and then, you know, you get the shit kicked out of you.
Cooler heads prevail is always like a good thing to focus on.
Yeah,
it's
sad.
Well, it's almost always, whatever the fuck it is that people fight over, it's almost always can be worked out most of the time.
Well, usually it's that people just want to fight.
Yeah, or they're drunk. You know, that's the difference between alcohol and pot. Nobody ever fought at the Cannabis Cup. Mm-mm. Most fucking people.
Could you have even had a fight that day?
I don't think so. I would have just grabbed them and held on.
Let's just slow dance for a second. Let's slow dance. It's me and you, man.
Let's talk. Come on, man. I don't know what to talk about, but let's talk.
No, fuck. The people come out of a bar. They're just fucking fired up.
It is the worst drug when it comes to that. The worst.
Horrible.
Yeah. The worst drug because it narrows your understanding of the danger that you're involved in.
Right.
Loosens inhibition. Impedes rational thinking.
And it's always somebody that's so fucking hammered.
Oh, yeah.
But they can't even put one foot in front of the other. But in their mind, they're seeing something completely different.
Yeah.
And they always end up getting the shit knocked out of them.
I've seen it. Seen it a bunch of times. It's horrible.
No, it's...
Seeing street fights is always so strange, too, because sometimes you see street fights with people that are so confident and they literally have no idea how to fight. And you're like, why are you so... What are you doing? Like, you don't even...
Maybe they beat up somebody that was, like, really scrawny, you know, once, and they're like, yeah.
It's gonna happen again right now. I'm gonna get that good feeling.
Look at that big, giant bouncer. I got this. You know, just... And you're...
I always wanted... Like, have you ever met someone that, like... They become a different person when they get drunk. Like, mm-hmm. they drink, and then, like, a switch goes off. They're not there. Like, hey, where'd Jenny go? Where's Jenny? Is Jenny in there?
And those eyes are just, like...
They get gerbil eyes or hamster eyes.
And then you say something. And it's usually the people that get mad real easily.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we were just having fun. Yeah. Like, well,
fucking bitch.
Dude, fuck this shit. You fuck this. What the fuck, a bartender's looking at me? Yeah, because your drink's empty. Like... What the hell happened to you? Where'd you go?
Well, it's
kind
of amazing that so few fights do take place when you think about how much alcohol is available and how many people drink. It's kind of amazing when you go out and you don't see a fight, which is more often than not, right?
It depends on where you're at, I think. Like, when I was in Austin, so you go on 6th Street and
that's
all those
a good
fucking
place to see fights.
Yeah, like it would be weird to not see a fight on 6th Street. But then if you go to a place, it's like a nicer, you know, okay, these are adults instead of a bunch of just, you know, college kids that are ripped. Like,
yeah.
You don't see as many, but.
That's true.
I saw a lot in Austin. That was pretty common.
Well, 6th Street, you got college towns, and then you got Texas people, and then you got booze, and you throw it all together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fucking yeehaw. That's a great town, though.
I love
great
Austin.
Town.
No, that was a good town.
It's getting choked up with people, though, these days.
Everybody wants to live there now.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's cool. There's shit to do. It's a nice place, though. It's fun. Like, it's a good atmosphere. It's not, I think it's laid back. That
but
helps.
The traffic there is insane now.
Yeah.
It started becoming, like, just
it sucks.
Overwhelming. Their infrastructure can't really handle it because it's not designed for that many people.
No. And everything's consistently under construction that'll never get fit. You know, it's just like everything. There's just, you know, that's going to be a new building. That's going to be it. Oh, so we had to close that street off and that street off. So traffic's now worse.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah, but it is a very unique city in Texas, too, because it's got its own vibe to it as opposed
capital.
To like. Yeah, I mean, it is the capital. Yeah. But it's got its own vibe to it that's different than any other Texas city. It's so liberal and open-minded, and it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, I work downtown, and, like, where the office, where our station was, like, right there next to the Capitol. So it was kind of cool. It was on Congress, and you could walk around. It was, you know, I didn't live very far. I mean, I was still young, so I had a little cool, dope-ass little high-rise, you know? Like, it was fun. But I feel like every time I go back, it's just... thousands more people.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's some nutty number of people move there every day.
Yeah.
It's like 1,000 people move there every day or something like that. Something insane.
Yeah, it's something really ridiculous. And it is sprawling because you can go out towards the lakes and all, you know, like all those kind of houses.
How many people move to Austin every day? Google that. I bet there's a statistic. But yeah, by the lake. Well, the lakes, there used to be two lakes, right? Lake Austin and Lake Travis. And Lake Travis had fucking become nothing. But
well,
then,
there was Town Lake, and then, Lake Travis is now, like, just speedboats.
But it filled up again. It was down to nothing, and then it rained so hard, it filled back up again.
That was pretty fucked up, because nobody could even get in the water due to, like, the bacteria.
Oh, it's only 110, 150? That's it? That's nothing. Oh. When 40 people move out.
Though.
Oh, so 2 years ago. How much difference did it?
More.
That doesn't seem like a lot, though. Because 150 people move in and 40 people move out. So it's 110 net. That doesn't seem that bad. But it is over the course of years, right? Yeah. Well. So much for my fucking outrageous hyperbole.
It's 1,000 people
hyperbole.
A week, kind of, almost.
Yeah,
almost,
it is. Almost. Close. Yeah. It's close. It's enough. It sucks. 360,000 people a year. No. Week. 52 weeks. What am I doing? There's my shitty math again. Boy, fucking relying on calculators.
Oh, man. I have to rely on calculators.
So we're almost out of time. Jenny Johnson, high five. Where can people see you do stand-up next? When are you performing next?
Where am I performing next? I believe... I don't know that I have anything this week. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week? Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Do you put it up on your Twitter? Let people know?
I do it on my Twitter and on my Gram, on my Instagram.
Cool.
I'll let people know.
Please do.
I will.
All right. Jenny Johnson, high five
on
both.
Thank you for having me on. Oh, by the way, my cousin, Andy Nix, he's a Marine, major, flies C-130s, big fan of yours. So.
What's up, Andy? Thank you, Andy.
I told him I would tell you that.
All right. Well, you did. Well, thanks. This was fun. Appreciate
fun.
It. Let's do it again.
We could be sponsored by Claritin D.
We'll do it again when it's not raining.
Yeah, perfect.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Jenny Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
That was fun.